InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
It's April 17th, 2024. Owen Schroyer is going to be hosting the broadcast because the deep state, as usual, has me embroiled in court attempting to pin our operation down so we cannot continue to warn the people. But the message has been sent. The Great Awakening is here, and nothing they can do is going to stop humanity demanding our freedom and our destiny. With God's help, we can and we must prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big story now all around the world. The German government has officially come out and said, as of this summer, you're not going to be allowed to drive your cars, their cars, in Deutschland on the weekend. And if the population accepts that, well, then all those new little computers in the cars, they'll tell you when you can drive and when you can't, and they'll charge you, of course, extra, quote, congestion fees. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the plan for the entire world. The WF, the UN, they've all admitted that COVID, in part, was to train you for climate lockdowns. Oh, yes, they're not just going to turn your cars off. They're not just going to block the roads. They're not just going to herd you into 15-minute cities. They are going to lock you in your houses. This is all being done by increments under UN direction all over the Western world. They are building and have built and are building more giant sprawling COVID camps. And from Australia to Germany, they have said the next time there's a virus, those that disagree with the lockdown policies and forced injections will be locked in those facilities for everyone's own good. At the highest levels, this is a transhumanist corporate fascist takeover using communist policies to control the people on the ground. This is totalitarianism. They're coming for everything. They're doing studies in the U.S. and the U.K. giving two-year-old babies, puberty, quote, blockers, which will stunt their growth, cause heart problems and cancer. That's all on record. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't go into puberty until age 10 or 11 or 12. Of course, that was in the past, all the chemicals in the food and water. Girls are going into puberty now on average age of 9. It's causing all sorts of problems with boys. The point is, this is absolute mad scientist evil. There's no limit to the corruption and the avarice of the globalists. Germans must stand and must unite and must reject the religion of climate change. It is a cult that trains humans to hate ourselves and trains humans that we're a problem. There are articles up on Infowars.com where in major European countries and now in Canada as well, they are euthanizing, killing autistic people, wards of the state, and the state decides since you're their ward, they're going to kill you. That's not assisted suicide. That's murder. These are evil people who have sold their minions that are part of the death cult that killing other people will get them more resources. Remember Bill Gates more than a decade ago telling a group of teachers at a teacher conference that if we kill an old lady and don't give her end-of-life care, we can hire 10 more teachers. That's a lie. We want a non-zero-sum game. We want a win-win. We want to expand civilization. We want to innovate. When people start telling you that if you cut back on civilization and cut back on services and cut back on quality, that you get a better life, they're lying to you. If we're stupid enough to buy into this evil, we deserve it. But I'll tell you this, folks, the children don't. We must stand against it. And if you think it's just Germany coming for your cars, think again. This is happening everywhere. They want your mobility. They want to make you a prisoner in a prison planet. Infowars.com, tomorrow's news today. Please tell everyone you know and those you don't know to tune in now to the live streams at Real Alex Jones on X and at Infowars.com/show and to our great AM and FM stations across the country. God bless. We'll be right back with the great Owen Schroyer.
Privileged to be here with you on this Wednesday, April 17th, 2024 live transmission. If you didn't hear the opening segment, Alex Jones is in court today dealing with the effort to shut this organization down. I will leave it at that. We may be hearing from Alex again before the end of the show if there is any newsworthy update from court today. But Alex in court, Owen Schroyer here in the InfoWars World Headquarters in Austin, Texas. Every day we're on air is a victory. Every day we're on air is a blessing. Now, I have a desk full of news. I've got a very long, important video list today as well. But before I kind of tell you everything that's going on, let's just talk about what happened yesterday. And let's have a brief compare and contrast. And I don't want to spend too much time on this. But let's have a brief compare and contrast between a Joe Biden rally yesterday and a pop-up organic, what you might call Trump rally, after he gets out of court and heads to a bodega in Harlem. Now, Joe Biden can't have a real rally. They can't publicly announce Joe Biden rallies. They can't have a website that has, you know, his tour dates, his rally dates like Trump has, or like any other candidate ever has in the history of presidential elections, probably around the world, but certainly in the United States of America. They let you know where the rallies are. They tell you in advance. They give you days, if not weeks, if not months in advance, so that people can prepare, people can get ready to go to the presidential rally. Joe Biden can't do that. Because if Joe Biden let people know where he was going to be and when he was going to be there, massive protests will break out and a Trump rally would break out. And you'd have about 5-1 people at a Biden rally there to support Trump. And then you'd have about 2-1, 3-1 people protesting Biden, not there to support Trump, but to protest Biden, about 2-1, 3-1. Compared to the people that are actually in attendance. Most of the Biden rallies are not even open for the public. You have to be a big Democrat donor, a precinct chair member, somehow a member of the Democrat Party, or a member of the invited media, just in order to get access to the Biden event. So he's not even running a real campaign. Now, they had the excuse in 2020, oh, COVID. So Biden didn't have to campaign, he didn't have to rally, and they could just blame it on COVID. And he had maybe 2 or 3 events, and they'd put those little circles out on the lawn, and they'd have 15 people show up, and it was just a complete joke. He did the stiff-legged, weird Biden jog robotic routine. Very awkward, but at least they kind of had the backdrop of COVID to, okay, maybe people won't question it too much. They don't have that excuse now. So yesterday, Biden is in Pennsylvania at another closed event. Less than 100 people show up. Less than 100 people show up. It looks like it's a closed off auditorium or high school gymnasium or something. An hour before Joe Biden was to speak, there were already pictures going around that were, and I counted them on air, 46 people. You could count how many people were there. 46 people in attendance. Donald Trump has 46 people lined up outside of the doors 24 hours before he has a rally. Joe Biden has 46 people in the auditorium an hour before he's set to speak. Then, as if that wasn't bad enough for Joe Biden, then he starts to speak. And I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this was probably his worst public speaking event yet. Folks, I didn't bring all the clips because I didn't want to be redundant. I covered them all yesterday on the War Room. There's your 46 people in attendance an hour before Biden goes live. See how all the chairs are reserved. It's invite only. It's not open for the public. But I'm not exaggerating. When I tell you this was his worst performance yet, it was his worst performance yet. Let's say there were 30 bullet points or 30 lines of messaging, whatever, that he had to get through.
25 of them, he fumbled and bumbled and slurred and stammered. And then about five of them, he didn't even make any sense at all. I mean, no sense at all. And then at one point, he just starts screaming. I do have that clip for you today. We may show that. So there's the tiny Biden rally. Most votes of all time. My ass. And isn't that what's so frustrating with modern day politics? We're just supposed to sit here and take these arguments seriously. We're just supposed to sit here and the left just sits there and lies to your face. They know it. Joe Biden, more votes than Barack Obama. Joe Biden, most votes of all time, can't even get 100 people at a rally. Stop lying. Stop lying. So you have that. Okay, now, Donald Trump. By the way, who's the real criminal here, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? But I guess that's another conversation. So Donald Trump is in a courtroom all day with a corrupt judge. And they're doing everything they can to try to destroy him, even outside of the courtroom. And they say he's gagged. He's not allowed to talk about the case, or we'll send him to jail. And they say he has to be in the courtroom every day of this trial, or we're going to send him to jail. So what's next? Are they going to say Donald Trump is not even allowed to go in public? Donald Trump basically has to be like a juror, and he has to leave the courtroom and go right to his hotel or right to his house or wherever he's staying. So he can't even be seen in public. He can't even walk out in the public and wave, or they're going to send him to jail. I wouldn't be surprised if they go that far, because what we witnessed yesterday was truly incredible. And in fact, I only sent one of these clips. We should start pulling some of this stuff in, and maybe it might even be worth going to the original feed of Trump going to the bodega. Ladies and gentlemen, let's say Trump gets out of the courtroom sometime around 5. And they announce he's going to be going to this bodega in Harlem. It just happens to be the bodega where a violent thief tried to stab the bodega owner's son, who was working behind the counter, tried to stab him to death. The bodega owner's son fought back. The Democrats tried to put him in jail for defending himself. And so you may recall that viral video, that viral story from a few months back. And so that's the bodega Trump goes to talk about the crime, the real crime that goes on in New York City that the Democrats ignore and let happen, because they're busy going after you, or they're busy going after Dexter. His last name escapes me right now. Carbon Mike. He's sitting in a prison now on Rikers Island because he had a couple guns. No violent crimes, no victims. As far as the Second Amendment is concerned, he didn't break any laws, but the Democrats knew he was a conservative. The Democrats knew he had what they call, quote unquote, ghost guns, aka guns that aren't registered. So they threw him in prison. So the Democrats are going after their political opposition in New York. The actual violent criminals on the street get let go or get ignored. The illegal immigrants get all the funding, get all the attention. So that's why Trump goes to the bodega to highlight that. Within an hour, because this all happened quickly, within an hour, there are thousands of people lined up outside of this bodega. We're talking about scenes from like a World Series parade. So security has to quickly get there and fence off a bunch of the area. So they fence it off so he can enter the bodega. They fence it off so the motorcade can arrive. And as far as you can see, I haven't seen any overhead shots, but as far as you can see, all the street views, the entire, let's say, 4 city blocks, you can't even move. It's shoulder to shoulder, thousands of people just to get a look at Donald Trump, They're climbing on the scaffolding. They're hanging out of windows. They're climbing out of the fire escapes. They're on each other's shoulders. People are bringing their kids out, putting them on their shoulders. They're bringing out binoculars. I mean, true organic fanfare. You'd never see anything like it. I mean, it's crazy. So there's your juxtaposition. Joe Biden has a quote-unquote rally in Pennsylvania that somehow he'll win again with 330,000 votes at 3 in the morning, put him right over the edge, but can't get 100 people at a rally. Donald Trump in less than an hour says, I'm going to go to this bodega when I get out of the courtroom, and thousands of people pack the streets. So maybe we'll pull in some of that video. I've got Joe Biden screaming into the microphone. They could pull all the clips from yesterday's war room, him fumbling, slurring. He's not even making sense. And then Trump actually speaks to the media. Trump actually speaks to the people. He's literally going back and forth. He goes and talks to the media for 5 minutes. Then he goes and talks to the people across the street for 5 minutes, shakes some hands, signs some hats. Then he goes back and talks to the media for another 5 minutes. Then he goes back over here and talks to some other Trump voters and Trump supporters. Then he goes back to the media and back to the press. Joe Biden sits there and slurs into a microphone, screams at the 100 people at his fake rally, and then goes back for a nap. Trump in a courtroom all day long dealing with political persecution, then goes to a bodega and packs the city streets shoulder to shoulder like there's a World Series parade going on in Harlem. Now, this leads to a question that maybe is a little far off to get into now. But when you see stuff like this in New York City, what's going to happen if and when the Democrats steal another election from Donald Trump? Which saying that is a criminal activity now, as the U.S. government cites in their case against me. And then they throw me in prison for that. But what are they going to say? What is it going to look like after a 2024 election if Biden beats Trump? This is a joke. So it's going to be two presidential campaigns in a row where Biden can't even have a real rally. Three, really, for Donald Trump, where he can get tens of thousands of people at any rally he wants. He can do a pop-up rally in less than an hour and get thousands of people packing the streets. And really, really, people are going to believe that Joe Biden won. And that's just the optics of rallies and turnout. It's like if I go to a New York Yankees game and, oh, look, there's 50,000 people here. This is a popular team. Wow, people really like the New York Yankees. And then I go down to Tampa Bay and there's like 10,000 people in the arena. I say, gee, well, not many people go to the Tampa Bay Rays games. And then somehow at the end of the year, the Tampa Bay Rays have 4 million attendance and the Yankees only have 2 million attendance. You'd sit there and you'd scratch your head and you'd say, what? I went to the Yankee games. They 50,000 a night. I was there. I saw it. 50,000 every night. I was at the Tampa Bay Devil Rays Stadium. I was at their home games. They got like 10,000 every night. How did they get 4 million and the Yankees get 2 million? Something doesn't add up here. This is what we're looking at again, potentially, in 2024. But nobody's going to buy it. And that's what I'm saying. It's not going to be your hardcore Trump supporters. It's not going to be the people that really follow politics. I mean, to every second following politics, to watching the voting results all night, to watching the vote Viagra for Biden at 3:30 in the morning in five different states to put him over the edge. It's not going to be the couple million people that do that are that hardcore and that focused. It's going to be 10 million, 20 million. It's going to be 50 million people that just sit here and say, okay, hold on a second. I didn't vote for Trump. I might not even like Trump, but I remember when he came to my town, 20,000 people showed up. I remember he had that pop-up rally in New York City. You couldn't even walk outside of your house. I mean, it was insane. I thought there was a World Series parade going on. And I see Biden, and nobody shows up for a Biden event. Biden came to town. I actually remember there were just nothing but protesters and Trump supporters. I don't even remember seeing a Biden person. I also know a lot of Trump supporters. I don't know a single Biden supporter. How can this be? How did Biden win again? And then they're going to get the gaslighting. And then they're going to realize how corrupt it is. And then they're going to be more politically aware of what's going on. Now, will we have a country at that point? I mean, another 4 years of Joe Biden, bets are off. But this is what we're staring into. Now, a lot of this Democrat persecution, a lot of this Democrat criminal activity against Donald Trump, and that's what it is. These are criminals. The Democrat Party is a mafia. It's a political mafia. It's the biggest terrorist group mafia in the history of this country. So what they do always has an equal and opposite response. So now, how long is this trial going to go on? How long is Trump going to be in New York City for this? He's only going to be able to rally on weekends. And he is going to be rallying on weekends. So Joe Biden does nothing all day. He's the missing in action president. You see him maybe once or twice a week. He speaks to the media in a controlled press conference maybe once a week. He doesn't have real rallies. He's the missing in action president. Trump is going to be in courtrooms every day and then having pop-up rallies in New York afterwards and then rallying on weekends and then doing TV interviews and doing press conferences, embarrassing Biden, running circles around Biden. But are we about to see something? I don't know. This should not be an isolated event for the Trump campaign. Whosever idea it was to have Trump go to that bodega yesterday, brilliant, give him a bonus, give him a raise. And after seeing how successful that was, I would repeat that at least 3 days a week when Trump is in trial, if not every single day. And I would pick a different part of New York City. You go to a bodega in Harlem. You go to a sandwich shop in Queens. You go to a diner in Brooklyn. You go to a Chick-fil-A in Manhattan. I don't know. I would do that every single day. And maybe that's too much. I would do it 3 days a week. Because now you're having pop-up rallies that get more attention than Joe Biden. You're taking the attention off of Joe Biden, if it was ever even there to begin with. You're dominating Joe Biden in the ratings. Everybody's watching Trump. You're drowning out Joe Biden with all of the noise. You're the real president. You're the real leader. So I would like to see this 3, if not 5 days a week while Trump is in New York City. The Democrats don't want Trump rallying in New York City because this would happen every single day. I would even reason that it would get bigger every single day. Because then it becomes this game. And it's like, oh, where's Trump going to be today? And so people are kind of on the lookout for it. It's like radio stations or local TV stations will do these like mystery games, and they'll plant clues or put things around downtown, and you got to go find them to win a prize. Always popular, great promotions. People still do it. I mean, that's what this would be like. Like, hey, where's Trump going to be today? Let's be on the lookout. Let's wait for the news, and then let's go try to get there. Let's go try to get front row. Let's go try to get on a scaffolding, you know. Oh, I got a friend that lives uptown. Hey, he's going to be there. Let's go get in the apartment. And you're taking the attention off Joe Biden. You're drowning out Joe Biden with all the noise. You're making it about you. You're showing you're the president. You're in control. You're the populist. You're the leader. And then you have Joe Biden screaming into microphones. Here's Joe Biden again. I got all this other news. Maybe we'll pull in these other clips of Joe Biden slurring and blurring and stuttering and stammering. We can pull him in from yesterday's war room. I just covered him there, and I don't want to do redundancy, but this is a different audience. So maybe we'll bring those in. Here's Joe Biden, though, concluding his fake rally yesterday, screaming into the microphone where are we at here, guys? Go ahead and roll Joe Biden screaming into the microphone.
We are the United States of America. There is nothing beyond our capacity when we act together. God bless you all. May God protect our troops. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
God protect our troops. That's his awkward little going out line.
Thank you, folks.
As I guess he's about to send them to war.
Thank you.
He does his little robotic stiff walk. Maybe Joe Biden is just a robot. Now he gets lost on the stage again. Should we do the compare and contrast, guys? Should we really hone in on this in the first hour of today's Alex Jones show? Maybe we should. Maybe we should pull those clips of Biden stuttering and slurring. Folks, I'm telling you, I know it's bad. I know it's typical for Joe Biden. Yesterday was by far the worst. I mean, he looks bad. He looks like he just rolled out of a tomb. And he can't even talk. And then, again, you compare and contrast. Here's Donald Trump, full of energy, full of life, just was in a courtroom all day, being politically persecuted, has a massive pop-up rally downtown New York City, Harlem. They should do this every day. It would crush the Democrats. Because you can't ignore this, folks, especially if you're in New York City. I mean, this is unavoidable. People are going to see that. They're going to see the thousands of people packing the streets for Donald Trump. And it puts the focus right back on Trump and off of Biden, which you could say, well, maybe the Democrats don't want the focus on Biden. Look at how embarrassing he is. He can't even talk. That's not the point. The point is, it's like the team that wins gets all the attention. It's like the championship team gets all the promotion. The best player gets all the commercials. So that's what this is. Trump is winning. Trump is the champion. Trump's getting all the endorsement deals. Trump's in all the commercials. Trump's getting all the interviews. Not the other guy. He's the guy. There goes that man again. It's Donald Trump. It's not Joe Biden screaming into a microphone after he slurs for 30 minutes in front of a controlled fake rally, invite only, not open to the public. So I think we will come back and do some comparing and contrasting between the two yesterday, and then I'll start to get into this other news. Maybe we'll tell you what else is coming up. This is the Alex Jones Show. All right, we're going to do this compare and contrast exercise. We've got a couple of the clips of Joe Biden slurring and stammering and stuttering. If you can figure out what he says, then more power to you. Then we'll show you the live action Donald Trump as he gets into Harlem at that bodega. So first, we're just going to go back to back. Here's Joe Biden slurring and stuttering and stammering and not even saying words at some times from his fake rally yesterday.
I've already cut the federal deficit. You know, all the stuff they talk about what we've done.
Of course, this is just a lie.
And I'm going to be self-serving a little bit. Every objective alternative points out we've had the most successful economy of any major economy in the world so far. A lot more to do. But guess what? During the whole time, I've been able to cut the federal deficit at the same exact time to over $1 trillion. My grandfather would tell me when I walked out the door in North Washington Avenue in Scranton, around the kitchen table with a guy who was sort of the David Broder of the Pennsylvania Press, the Scranton Press. You think I'm kidding? It wasn't, but anyway. And they'd come and have breakfast at the table, and a kid could wander around the table where the adults were sitting, but you could never sit at the table. And under my plan, nobody earning less than $400,000 will pay an additional penny. I hope you're all able to make $400,000. I never did.
By the way, he makes $400,000 a
year. But they're not going to pay an extra penny in federal taxes. That's a promise.
Already nobody. Broken the promise, but
not
he doesn't know what's going
penny.
On. Biden doesn't even know what the hell's going on. The IRS is already targeting people, and it's mostly people making under $200,000 a year that are getting paid on Venmo or Cash App or some other form like that. So, you could defend Biden and say, well, he's not lying because he doesn't even know what's going on. But he says, I've never made $400,000 a year. That's his public salary as president is $400,000 a year. His whole speech is virtually the same thing. Either a lie or him fumbling and bumbling and slurring through it, making no sense. So a little taste. Now, here's Donald Trump pop-up rally at a bodega in Harlem. See if you can tell the difference between the two men.
trial is moving along. We have a judge who's absolutely out of place. He should not be allowed to do it. He's conflicted like nobody's ever been conflicted. This is a very exciting time for me because the bodegas, the association, invited me, and I respect them and they respect me. They want law and order. They have a lot of crime, tremendous crime, where their stores are being robbed. And as you know, we're going to give New York a very good shot for the presidency. We think we should be able to do it. A lot of things have changed. Lee Zeldin did a beautiful job. He ran. He lost by a little bit. And New York's a lot different. And we'll work with the mayor. And we'll work with the governor. And we'll bring in a lot of federal money. But we have to straighten out New York. And that includes crime. And these guys are great people, great friends. But they have tremendous crime. So we're going to straighten it out.
I was more than 50% of people actually believe, or a majority believe, that the judge and the jury are going to have some kind of bias against
them. Yeah, no, they believe. I heard 78% think it's a rigged deal. And it is a rigged deal. It's a rigged trial. Our courts, everything is screwed up in New York. And the whole world is watching. This judge is so conflicted. You understand that. You'll take a look at that. There's never been a judge so conflicted as this. It's ridiculous. And also, there's no crime. You know where the crime is? In the bodegas, where they come and rob them every week, or more than that.
More than that.
Yeah. So, do you think the juror, in your mind, is an ideal juror?
Anybody that's fair.
Do you believe that the jurors seated today?
I'll let you know after the trial, depending on that. Because don't forget, you know, we're appealing. There shouldn't be a judge. If you look, and you take a look around, a good strong look, every legal scholar, every legal pundit said there should be no trial. There was nothing done wrong. This is all politics. This is coming out of the White House. And, you know, it makes me campaign locally, and that's okay. I don't think so. I think we're doing better, Brian. We're doing better now than we've ever done. So I think it's having a reverse effect. You know what? All I want is fairness. And these people have to be treated better. The Bodega Association, bodegas, because every week they're being robbed 2-3 times. It's crazy. It's crazy. And you know what? The police can do it. They can stop it. But they have to be allowed to do their job.
So what is that allowed to do? To address the inner cities of America and give them hope to restore the American dream. Atlanta, New York, Philly, Chicago, D.C.
We're going to come in and, number one, you have to stop crime. And we're going to let the police do their job. They have to be given back their authority. They have to be able to do their job. And we're going to come into New York. We're making a big play for New York. Other cities, too. But this city, I love this city. And it's gone so bad in the last 3 years, 4 years. And we're going to straighten New York out. So running for president, we're putting a big hit for New York. We think we can win New York. With 500,000 migrants that poured in and take over the parks, they took over your hotels, they take over everything. It's no good. And you know what they've done? They've destroyed so many people. The African-American community now is not getting jobs. Migrants are taking their jobs that are here illegally. Hispanics are not getting jobs. Migrants are taking the jobs. If you look at the unemployment, the unemployment is good for migrants now. It went up 10%, all migrants. And they're in our country. Now, they're coming from prison.
All right, so you know. This goes on. It's prime Trump. And, you know, I hear the talks about, well, he's too old. You know, I'd buy into that, except Trump has the energy of a 20-year-old. So it just that argument doesn't work against Trump. It's just true. It'd be one thing if he was as Sleepy Joe is, but he's not. So just put that aside. Now, here's a cute little clip. Some children out there in the streets chanting for Trump, chanting they love Trump. So we'll do a little more compare and contrast here. Again, this is all organic. This is a pop-up rally in Harlem outside of a bodega, packs the streets, thousands of people in a moment's notice, Donald Trump. And here's a couple of kids chanting they love Trump here in clip 5. Now then, in Pennsylvania, there is an awkward deal they did. So again, that's fully organic. You can tell it's natural. Nobody plans that. Nobody scripts that. Where everything they do is planned and scripted and fake with Joe Biden. So they do this weird thing where they get Joe Biden to link arms with these kids and then march them out, and then they plan this chant. It's all very awkward. It's all very contrived. So that's a natural, organic occurrence. Kids in the streets in New York chanting they love Trump. You can tell. You can feel it. That's real. Here's the fake version of that with Joe Biden walking hand in hand with kids, and then they start some awkward chant in clip 11. He comes out with all these kids. He's holding their hands and grabbing them. And then somebody's going to give him the cue to start chanting in a second. And they can't even get their chant coordinated. They can't even coordinate their chant. The whole thing was coordinated. The whole thing was planned, and they still can't even do it. And that's all you get. So just your compare and contrast right there. And then you had the local Democrat representative. Donald Trump didn't do his homework. Adriano Espaillat. My district is progressive, and my constituents are honest, hardworking New Yorkers who don't have time for Trump's division, hate, and chaos. Trump has no place in my district, really, because he seems really popular. My guess is if you went out in your district, you wouldn't get, 1% of what Trump gets. So why don't you shut your mouth? But it just makes you wonder how Democrats even get elected. None of them are popular. Nobody knows who any of them are. How do Democrats even get elected to begin with? Maybe it's all voter fraud. I don't know. But can you imagine when they have Trump in court in New York, he goes and does a pop-up rally every day afterwards, massive support. Whether he's in a courtroom in Atlanta, he goes out, does a pop-up rally afterwards, massive support. In D.C., he goes out, does a pop, maybe even in D.C. He could probably get more than Joe Biden, even in D.C. he probably could. But Biden will get 1,000 million votes, bajillion patrillion votes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here live on the Alex Jones Show. We want InfoWars. We want this transmission to go on forever. We celebrated Alex's 30-year on-air anniversary earlier this week. A great milestone for Alex. A great milestone for InfoWars. And we'd like 30 more. We would like 30 more, but we need your help. You're part of that equation by shopping at InfoWarsStore.com, and you get a great product back in stock. This is one of my favorite products, Vitamin Mineral Fusion. I start every morning with this. Why? Well, let me tell you why. You can go right here on the label and find out that it has over 100% your daily value of vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, vitamin D, vitamin E, over 100% your daily value. That's not even a quarter of all the great vitamins and minerals in here. 1,000 milligrams glycine, 1,000 or 100 milligrams L-arginine, L-glutamine, so much more in one scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com. It's a no-brainer. You start your morning with this. You know you're getting over 100% the daily value of so many vitamins, so many minerals. Tastes great. I like to mix it with juice. Tastes great with all juice, too. Tried it with orange juice, apple juice, blueberry juice, pomegranate juice, even pineapple juice. I've tried it with them all, and it always tastes great. Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock. 40% off right now. Look at that. 5-star reviews, ladies and gentlemen. That is a perfect review. That is nearly impossible. 5-star reviews. We've done it. Vitamin Mineral Fusion, InfoWarsStore.com. I start every day with Vitamin Mineral Fusion, and you should too while it's in stock, and 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. Still so much to get to here. Boy, oh boy. All right, let's get into some just raw political stuff here. Here's the judge. So again, this judge, Juan Marchand, he's a known Biden supporter and donor, and his family, specifically his daughter, has taken millions of dollars from Democrats and worked on Democrat campaigns from Obama to Harris to Biden and Schiff. And then they say, oh, nope, no need for recusal, nothing here. And then so the judge obviously is biased. Folks, the Democrats have conquered New York. It's a sad state of affairs. Truly. Illegal immigrants have conquered New York. The Democrats have conquered New York. Criminals run the streets. But if you're a conservative, they're going to come arrest you and throw you in jail because you have, quote unquote, ghost guns. If you're Donald Trump, they're going to come try to take all of your property, keep you tied up in the court system so you can't campaign. I mean, these are dirty crooks. The Democrat Party mafia, the gangsters run by Chuck Schumer, dirty Chuck Schumer, have conquered New York. It's a sad state of affairs. And there's some other news, just how bad it is up there. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it today. But so, okay, they've made some of the jury selection. And of the seven they've selected, it looks like six are hardcore liberals. And then there's one woman that looks like she might be neutral. But they can't even get a jury pool, folks. They can't even get a fair jury pool. Most of the potential jurors got tossed out because they even admitted that they hate Trump and they couldn't be jurors. And then the judge was just like, well, we have to take some of you. So even if you do hate Trump, I just have to put you on the jury anyway because we need jurors here. That's amazing. So they have all these Trump haters on the jury and they say, yeah, I read the New York Times, but I hate Trump and I'll be non-biased. Wink, wink. They give the judge nods back. But the judge knows they can be non-biased. And so here's CNN reporting on the judge deciding that, yeah, I can put Trump haters on the jury. They'll be trustworthy. CNN's report, clip 9.
Herself. I mean, today we heard Trump react audibly and start gesturing in the direction of the juror. This was a juror who was brought in for individual questioning to be asked about a post on social media, a video showing a type of celebration. The juror was questioned. Trump's lawyers believe that this was an anti-Trump event. It was around the 2020 election, which Trump lost to Joe Biden. And the juror said that she was just filming a New York celebration in the streets. The judge saying that he believed this juror could be fair. He said he looked her in the eye and thought she could be fair and impartial despite posting this video. So he refused to excuse her for cause. But, you know, this is just day two of this trial, and we're already seeing the former president react.
Yeah, I'm blatantly anti-Trump. Yeah, I post how much I hate Trump. Yeah, I read the New York Times hating Trump. Yeah, I celebrate when Trump loses and is getting sued. But I can be non-biased as a juror. I mean, it's just, and the judge says, yes, you're right. So can I. I'm a bought and paid for Democrat judge. I can be non-biased too. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah, we're Democrats. We're dirty crooks. We're a gang. We're a mafia. And we've conquered this state, so it doesn't even matter. This is like Gotham City, man. Unbelievable. How much longer do we have to put up with this crap? And then here's Joy Reid saying the quiet part out loud. This is truly amazing. And I guess I'll just respond after we play this clip. But Joy Reid says the quiet part out loud, ladies and gentlemen.
But for me, there is something wonderfully poetic about the fact that despite the fact that even if convicted, he's not going to go to prison, the first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, the very kind of person that his former staff, the people who worked for him, Stephen Miller, et cetera, want to never be at Harvard Law School. But he was. And he came out and graduated. And he's prosecuting you, Donald. And a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia. And a black woman forced you to pay a $175 million fine that's out now also in question because the people who put it up, that might not be legit. Donald Trump is being held to account by the very multicultural, multiracial democracy that he's trying to dismantle. And for me, there's something poetic and actually wonderful about that. It says something good about our country that we're still capable of having that happen. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it home on today.
No, it's striking, and a system that also is affording him.
It's almost so stunning. It's almost so unbelievable. How do you even respond to that? Joy Reid saying the quiet part out loud. We have weaponized black people and we have weaponized reverse racism against our political opposition. I mean, that's your 10-second synopsis translation of what she just said. We have we the Democrats, we the left, we the communists. We have brainwashed and weaponized black people against our political opposition, and we're using DEI to put them in positions of power to destroy now our political opposition. Joy Reid just said the quiet part out loud. She just admitted it. But see, here's the thing. Joy Reid is not very smart. Joy Reid is not actually part of the plan. She's just a useful idiot. She's just a low IQ moron who has the same intelligence as the wig she puts on her head that night. So she's kind of like thinking, whoa, like she's just had this big moment, this big revelation internally. She thinks she's a genius. She's figured it out. Oh, look, we've weaponized black Americans and now we're putting them in positions of power to destroy our opposition. Whoa, this is actually genius. She's not actually part of the plan. She doesn't realize that this is all planned out. This is all part of the sabotage of the United States. And then she has the internal realization and thinks she's a genius figuring it out. So she says it to her listening audience on the air, thinking, wow, you're going to see how smart I am. I figured it out. Joy, we figured it out a long time ago. That's what we've been complaining about. Now you're celebrating it. First you denied it. Now you're celebrating it and bragging about it. But see, that's what's so sick. If you're a black American, how does that not make you sick? How does that not infuriate you? This is how Democrats look at you, as a political weapon to be used by them. Modern day political slavery. You're on the political plantation of the Democrats and they don't even hide it anymore. And Joy Reid loves it because she's not very smart and she's filled with hatred. But see, that's the thing, is that black Americans are figuring it out. They have figured out that the Democrats just use them and abuse them and keep them poor and keep them in bad communities and keep them killing their kids so that they can vote Democrat. All right, the Surgeon General of Florida, Dr. Joseph LaDapo, is very critical of COVID-19 vaccines and policy. He had a hearing today where Democrats tried to embarrass him and ended up embarrassing themselves. And we got more news on this COVID stuff. It's big breaking news. But here is that hearing, clip 12.
Are you a specialist in infectious diseases?
I am board certified in internal medicine, and internal medicine doctors take care of a wide variety of
Understood.
Patients.
Are you a specialist? I asked a very specific question. Diseases. Are you a specialist in infectious diseases?
So I am board certified in internal medicine.
Okay, the answer, I guess, is no, okay. We're moving on.
With infectious diseases.
Are you a specialist in epidemiology?
I have PhD
I see where you're
training
going. Okay.
In epidemiology.
So you are not a specialist in epidemiology either.
I have
either.
PhD training in epidemiology and biostatistics and health economics.
Are you a vaccine researcher?
I am not a vaccine researcher.
Okay. I'm curious why you altered key findings in a state-driven study about COVID-19 in your state of Florida. Why did you alter the results of a state-driven survey? If I could, Mr. Chair, enter into the record April 24th, 2023, political article, Florida Surgeon General altered key findings in study on COVID-19 vaccine. Why did you alter the information in that study?
Thank you for your question. That is factually incorrect. I did not alter any findings in any study, and I have a record of multiple NIH grants as a professor at UCLA and a professor at Florida, and those are not easy to get. The study you're talking about is a study that was very unpopular because we had a finding that actually was in sync with what you might expect from myocarditis, which is that we found that there was an increased risk of myocarditis
and
cardiac death in young people.
In your home state, had said on the record to the press that you altered the study. Are you saying that is inaccurate?
I'm saying we have a study that showed that young men were
Did
at increased
you
risk
alter
of cardiac. I've already answered
study.
That question, ma'am.
Did
I said absolutely not. I have never altered any study. We had a finding of increased cardiac risk that translated into excess deaths in young men in particular. That was a very unpopular finding, but is very consistent with the finding that myocarditis is especially increased in young men. The study was performed by epidemiologists at the Florida Department of Health, not by me. I oversaw the study, and that was the finding, and I personally believe that that finding is accurate.
I have another question. You had said in multiple op-eds, USA Today, March 26, 2020, Wall Street Journal, April 9th, 2020. You spent time taking care of patients with COVID-19 at UCLA's flagship hospital, and yet your colleagues at that institution said that was not true. Did you, in fact, were you the person charged with treating COVID-19 patients?
I have taken care of at UCLA Hospital as the attending physician many patients with COVID-19.
Thank you, Mr. Latipo.
Mr. Latipo, the general lady from Vermont just questioned your credentials. Isn't it true you have a PhD and an MD from Harvard?
Yes, that's correct, but apparently not enough.
I guess not. Well, I'm going to say that the Pfizer CEO is a large animal veterinarian, okay? And then the person who actually approved the vaccines at the FDA is a hematologist oncologist who ran off the two top vaccine scientists at the FDA, Marion Gruber and Philip Kraus, because they said that they would not skip steps to approve the vaccine. And then they also had hesitation about the boosters. He said not everybody's going to need a booster, especially not 8 months after they've received the vaccine. But they were the vaccine experts working at the FDA who were removed of their responsibilities by a guy who didn't replace them with vaccine experts. How do I know this? I was in a transcribed interview for 7 hours with this gentleman from the FDA yesterday. And what we also found out is that the FDA, whose role is to regulate the manufacturers.
You know, liberals love black Harvard graduates until they're not liberals, then they hate them. We've got more on this COVID story, by the way, coming up. Winstrup announces subpoena for top Fauci advisor after whistleblower allegations are confirmed. That's from the House Oversight Committee. Select Committee on the Coronavirus Pandemic Chairman Brad Winstrup announced a subpoena to compel Dr. David Morenz, a top advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, to hand over documents from his personal email account related to COVID-19. Dr. Morenz has also agreed to testify in front of the Select Committee at a public hearing later this year. Recent whistleblower allegations revealed new additional evidence that Dr. Morenz intentionally used his personal email to hide conversations about the origins of COVID-19 and subvert federal transparency laws. Last week, Dr. Morenz self-proclaimed best friend. EcoHealth Alliance President Dr. Peter Daszak released 4 document tranches that confirmed the whistleblower's allegations. Notably, Dr. Daszak is at the center of controversy related to his use of U.S. taxpayer dollars to fund dangerous gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It goes on from the Oversight Committee. But here's the other breaking news. This is what's now been revealed. Now, I know we knew this all along, but folks, the evidence is just pouring out. I mean, these are mad scientists. Wow. We have 15,000 samples in Wuhan, could do full genomes of 700 COVIDs. Rand Paul drops COVID bombshell. Senator Rand Paul wrote in a Tuesday op-ed that officials from 15 federal agencies knew in 2018 that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was trying to create a coronavirus like COVID-19. So they're caught, they're on record, not just making the virus, but then covering up the origins of the virus, which obviously they would have self-interest in doing since they created it. Like if you created some monster in a lab and it got loose and started eating people, you'd say, oh, no, I don't know anything about that. It fell from the sky. And then they search your emails, they search your lab documents, and it's like, oh, yeah, you made that monster. And then you were emailing your friends not to tell anyone. That's what they did with COVID. And it's worse because they were using government funds to do the gain-of-function research, which was made illegal. That is illegal. So these are the real criminals. And you see now, you know, I got this clip that we'll roll here too. Look, the average American needs to come to the light and understand something. I'm not going to endorse Republican Party politics or the Republican Party at large. I'm not going to endorse even conservative values. Forget about that. Conservative values suck. Republican Party sucks. Okay? Fine. That's not what this is. This isn't right to left here. The average American has to come to an isolated realization that the American left, Democrats, liberals, progressives, are complete whack jobs. They have completely lost their minds. Well, why are you saying this about COVID? Well, okay, look at their response to COVID and the masks and the vaccine mandates. Oh, my body, my choice, but not with the mandates, not with the masks. Only when they want to kill their baby. But that's not even what I'm talking about. And really, I guess, actually, maybe this even applies to the American media more so than the American left, now that I'm thinking about it. And yes, the left runs 90% of the media. But you know, maybe the better example here is made in the U.S. media. Let's take that angle instead. The U.S. media, starting in what? March of 2020 till March 2021, maybe? Every single day told you about COVID, and they had the death counts, and they had the graphs, and the pie graphs, and the bar graphs, and the line graphs, and the red alerts, and the press conferences, and the this, and the that. And it was COVID, 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 and the new updated numbers, and then the death counts, and then the cases, and then the hospitalizations, COVID, 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 COVID. All day long, biggest story, COVID, 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 COVID. Shut down your business. Shut down the schools. Lock them all in. Force them to wear a mask. Force them to take medical procedures. COVID, 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 COVID. Oh, now that we find out COVID was made in a lab, where's the media? Biggest story of all time. For 12 straight months, you had COVID, COVID, COVID. Biggest story ever. Every angle, every report, every hospital, every number, every metric, every graph. And now we find out it was made in a lab, totally confirmed, and they won't even cover it? Explain that one. Because it's all propaganda. Because it's all an agenda. The agenda was to destroy the economy with COVID and blame Trump. The agenda was to execute the global government standard with COVID as a dry run. The agenda was to rewrite illegally election laws so that they could steal an election with mail-in ballots. That was the agenda with COVID. It wasn't actually about the news. It wasn't actually about getting down to the bottom of it or reporting the news or taking any of it seriously. It was all about those three agendas. So that's why they're not going to talk about, they're not going to make a big story about how the U.S. government with Anthony Fauci created COVID in a lab and then covered it up. But what's the overarching theme here? Where does the rubber meet the road? COVID was such a bad thing. They covered it all day long. We had to shut down all of our businesses and all this stuff. But then the men responsible for it don't get punished. So biggest story of your life. Most deadly virus of all time. Completely destroyed an economy. Completely ruined an election. Just all these horrific things COVID does. But the men responsible for it, we're not going to talk about that. You're going to suffer. You're going to pay the price. The economy's going to pay the price. The average American's going to pay the price. But the men who made it in a lab, We're not going to make a big fuss about that. We're not going to, no. That doesn't get top story news. That doesn't get headlines around the clock. That doesn't get all the attention. So they make COVID the biggest phenomenon of all time, the deadliest virus of all time, and then the men who made it are somehow not even in the picture. You don't even talk about them. It has nothing to do with the story. Pretty amazing stuff. And the crimes here continue. It's just... Oh, man. And then they lie about this vaccine. They force people to take it and they die. This is such mad scientist evil that we have witnessed and lived through. And we have to correct this and make sure it never happens again. This dystopian response that continues to this day. From a lawyer, Roger Severino, North Carolina high school requires kid to get COVID test to play football. They're still doing the COVID nonsense. They won't get a shot, so, got to take a test if you want to play football. I've seen high school kids drug off fields in stretchers. Give me a break about COVID. Kid shows up for the test and instead is forced to take a COVID shot despite stating his objection and no parental consent. Parents sue and lose because Federal PrEP Act grants total immunity to people who administer the COVID shot for any harms or wrongdoing related to the jab, except for death or serious bodily injury due to willful misconduct. So they can just inject you with this crap, force you to do it, and say, I'm above the law. Well, no, you're not. You can't write a law that says a doctor's allowed to murder people because he's a doctor. The implications of this decision are stunning. School officials can call your kid to the nurse's office and threaten to flunk your child or threaten to cut him or her with a scalpel if they don't take the shot and there's no liability. They can literally slap your child if they resist the shot or make them undress for the convenience of the person administering it and no liability. It goes on, and again, the attorney, Roger Severino, shares the legal documents here as well, so you can read all about this for yourself. The workers did not attempt to contact the student's parents. After failing to contact with the student's parents, one of the workers instructed the other worker to give him the shot anyway. Now we got hit with a Pfizer vaccine. Total evil. No other way to put it. Just total evil. By the way, maybe we'll conclude this with Aaron Rodgers. They banned him from the Pat McAfee show because he was saying too much truth on Disney's ESPN. So they banned him from going on that show. He was speaking too much truth. So now he does his own podcasts, and he said this recently in clip 10.
The blueprint, the game plan was made in the 80s. Create a pandemic, you know, with a virus that's going wild, right? He was given, Fauci was given like over $350 million to research this, to come up with drugs, new or repurposed, to handle the AIDS pandemic. And all they came up with was AZT. And if you do any, even a smidge of research, and I know I'm not a, you know, epidemiologist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not an immunologist, whatever the fuck, I can read though, right? And I can learn and look things up just like any normal person. You know, I can do my own research, which was so vilified, you know, yeah, to even question authority. But that was the game plan back then. Create an environment where only one thing works. Back then, AZT. Now, remdesivir until we get a vaccine, which, by the way, Anthony Fauci had stake in the Moderna vaccine. And we know Pfizer is one of the most criminally corrupt organizations ever. The fine they paid was the biggest in the history of the DOJ in 2009. Like, what are we talking about? We're going to put our full trust in science that can't be questioned.
Now, what's incredible about this turn of events here, as he talks about AIDS and Fauci's involvement with that, that used to be a liberal stance, ladies and gentlemen. But it just shows you how liberals don't really have any principles. They don't really have any values. They don't really have any foundations. At this point, they're basically just brainwashed completely. But really, if there is any foundation to modern-day liberalism, it's just anti-conservatism. It's just we hate conservatives. Whatever they stand for, we'll stand against. So if conservatives are for the war during the Bush years, then liberals are against the war. If conservatives are against the wars that Biden has started, then liberals are for the wars. So you see, they just are always contrary to whatever conservatives are doing. They don't have any real principles or values. Now, why do I bring that up about AIDS? In the 80s, liberals were marching the streets protesting Dr. Fauci. There's a whole movie about it. I think it won awards. The Dallas Buyers Club. It's actually a great movie. Really interesting film. And it's all about how the U.S. government was lying to AIDS patients and killing them. And the bad guy in that film is the U.S. government, specifically Anthony Fauci, or the character, the cinema representation. That was a liberal stance. That was liberals marching the streets. That was liberals pissed off that they were lied to by the government. That was liberals pissed off about the AIDS response. Those were liberals. I mean, just take one look at that person. That's a liberal. So where are they now? Well, now they're on the opposite side. Now they love Dr. Fauci. Now they love the government telling them what to do and lying to them and killing them with viruses. Now they love it. And Aaron Rodgers is the bad guy for telling the truth. So it just shows you, it's really sad, but it's true. I got to tell you, I don't want to go off too much on a jag here. But I'll just do the hours of research, and I'll just look at all the videos, and I got more coming up. And you just look at the American left just being out of control. But I reached this point where I take it beyond the realm of politics, and I even reflect on myself, and I'm just like, okay, hold on a second here. How can any of this be real? How can any of this be real? How is it? Because you reach a point where you realize how insane it is. You have to question your own reality. It's kind of like in that movie Ex Machina when he cuts himself because he looks at his environment, and it's so crazy now he doesn't even know if he's real. And so he has to look in the mirror and he has to cut himself just to see if he's even real. That's what this is like. So I reached this point where I'm like, wait a second. Is any of this even real? What is even going on here? This doesn't even make any sense. How is it that, I mean, we're all human, right? I mean, I don't know. Are we all human? Are some of us NPCs? Are some of us aliens, like in a skin suit? I mean, seriously, what the hell is going on here? How is it that people can be so brainwashed? How is it that two humans that live in the same world, the same planet, the same country, and they see the world completely differently? How is that even possible? So you either reach the conclusion that, okay, there's some weird, I don't know, call it alien, or I don't know, it's the simulation, NPCs, whatever it is, it's intentionally doing this and dividing us or whatever it is. Or, and this is the more likely 99.9% chance, liberals are just retarded. They're completely brainwashed. They have no real beliefs. And they've completely lost their mind. It's an open-air mental institution, asylum, and liberals are running around crazy. So, okay. Here's a segue into that. James Comer and Jamie Raskin. And that's what I'm saying. I think that the average conservative that didn't really think like this or talk like this and kind of just looked at, oh, it's politics, it's normal or whatever, it's liberals, it's the right-left thing. Now they're starting to realize, hold on a second. This isn't politics is normal. This isn't Democrat versus Republican, conservative versus liberal. We're dealing with deranged lunatics. We're dealing with brainwashed a-holes. And it's like, once you have that realization, once you've accepted that, everything changes. This isn't politics as normal. This isn't sitting down at the dinner table and having a conversation with a normal person. You're sitting down at the dinner table with psychotics. And so here's Comer and Raskin, and Comer, I think, has finally had that realization. Because it's like, how much evidence do we have to show you guys? We've shown you all the evidence of the Biden crime family. The bank records, the texts, the photos, the videos, the public statements. It's like, there it all is. And they're like, Trump is the one. And so it's finally starting to click. Okay, they're not interested in facts. They're not interested in reality. They're not interested in evidence. They are brainwashed psychotics, and they need to be treated as such. Here's Comer essentially saying that to Jamie Raskin today.
No, this is a hearing on China, and you all have an obsession with Russia and Trump. It's disturbing.
We can talk
you
about China
therapy.
And Trump or Russia
you all
and
need,
Trump. He's
you
got
need therapy, Mr. Raskin.
No, no. You need therapy. You're the one who's involved with the deranged politician, not me, okay? I've divorced myself from Donald Trump a long time ago. You're the one who needs to disentangle.
You need therapy, Mr. Raskin. You need therapy. I don't know how this goes. Because we don't want to put people in, you know, we don't want forced therapy camps. We got rid of the forcing people into mental institutions, and we closed most of the mental institutions. It's not what we're about. It's not what conservatives are about. That's not what the right wing is about. That's what the left is about. So it's like, we don't even want to go down that path. But I mean, why do parents punish children? Why do parents discipline children? Because they misbehave, they act up, and it's a bad thing. And they do it because they love them. And they know if they continue to act up and act like this and misbehave, it's going to be bad for everybody. It's going to be bad for them. So they have to discipline them. And essentially, the modern day liberal has the mind of a 3-year-old at this point. So it's like, what do you even do to deal with these? What do you do to deal with these psychotics? Okay. I got to move on, but I can't because I have more examples of these psychotics. Here they are protesting Kyle Rittenhouse. Look at this. This is nuts, folks. This is nuts. Go ahead. They're protesting Kyle Rittenhouse speaking at an event at Kent State University in Ohio. And go ahead and there should be two clips. Okay, yeah, go ahead and roll the psychotic lady first and then the general clip. This is them protesting Kyle Rittenhouse. Go ahead. I mean, folks, they're literally hopping up and down like demons. And they're not healthy-looking people. I'll just leave it at that to be kind. I mean, this is a brainwashed zombie horde. A literal brainwashed zombie horde. You can't even believe it, but there it is. All right. Now, how do we get here? They lie about Kyle Rittenhouse. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, where is the rational discussion here? Where is the rational discussion here? Kyle Rittenhouse has mobs attacking him. Kyle Rittenhouse has people pulling guns at him and threatening him, and he defends himself. Kyle Rittenhouse would be dead if he didn't do that. And then these people come out and say murderer. So they're admitting, so one of two things is happening here, or both is likely the situation with these deranged lunatics. Again, they are all brainwashed. They don't even know what's going on. They can't even think for themselves. They can't even look at the world around them for what it is. They're just complete brainwashed psychos. Or maybe they're aliens in skin suits or NPCs. I don't know. These are your options. But think about what else they might be saying. If you're a conservative like Kyle Rittenhouse, we should be allowed to kill you. What? That doesn't make sense. Well, of course it makes sense. If you, a conservative, are not allowed to defend your life when somebody's threatening to kill you, then what's the conclusion? They should be allowed to kill you. So, those protesters want Kyle Rittenhouse dead. They wanted Kyle Rittenhouse to be shot and killed that day, and they would have celebrated it. Remember, what leads those college students to go out there and live a lie and believe that Kyle Rittenhouse is the bad guy here. It's liars, propaganda agents like David Hogg. I don't even like giving this guy any attention. He's obviously a propaganda agent, but you have to look at what their propaganda agents are doing and saying. That's how we wind up here. He says, no right is absolute. David Hogg, no right is absolute. He tells his liberal friends, he tells his liberal listeners, his young Democrats, that no right is absolute. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, Democrats hate your rights. They don't want you to have any rights. They don't want you to know that your rights are given to you by God, by the Creator, not by government, not from Democrats, not from Congress. By God shall not be infringed. They hate that. They want to be God. Liberals like David Hogg want to be God. And they lie to their audience. They deceive their audience. And then you end up with a bunch of brainwashed psychotics hopping up and down like demons saying Kyle Rittenhouse is a murderer. Really, what would you do if you were in a situation where someone was pointing a gun at your head and said, I'm going to kill you? Would you let him kill you, or would you defend yourself? No right is absolute. I mean, this is like red flag. This is the stuff of communist dictatorships and tyrants and authoritarians that want to conquer you and make you a slave. No right is absolute. But if you asked him, well, what about abortion? Well, that's absolute. It's not. What about voting? Well, voting is an absolute right. It's not. So really, no right is absolute. You feel that way about abortion, about voting, because you say otherwise. But when it comes to self-defense, when it comes to remaining free and making your own decisions about what goes in and out of your body, yeah, nope, those are not absolute rights. There's no such thing as God. We the Democrats, we the liberals, we the progressives, we are God now. You're sick is what you are. You're truly sick, demented, deranged people. And the longer you stay in control of anything, the faster we get to completely destroying civilization as we know it. And then they do these things. The liberals, the FBI, the Democrats that run these cities, they're manipulating the crime statistics so that Democrat congressmen can put tweets out like this. Murders have dropped by 20% thanks to all the gun bills. No, they just lie. They don't charge the murderers. They can't find the murderers. There are no charges. Everybody knows crime is up, so they just cook the books so that they can make these false statements. They just cook the data so they can make these false statements. And they all know it happens in Democrat-run cities, so they have to do it even more so. But, you know, Anna Kasparian over at the Young Turks has taken a turn, and maybe that's because she actually is a rational person and not a complete brainwashed lunatic. She might actually have some logic and rationale. And so she points this out. How is this not a bigger story, by the way, especially for you gun-grabbing leftists? Anna Kasparian, 8 people were killed and 41 injured in shootings over the weekend in Chicago. I actually think the number was 47. Guys, will you double-check that? I believe the number was 47. I could be wrong, but we did cover that. She says, it's not even a blip on anyone's radar, except the families who lost their loved ones, of course. Actually, Anna, I did cover that. It was on our radar. I made a big story of that on Monday. Not that I hold it against you for not knowing that. I actually agree with you. It's barely a rip. It's barely a blip on the radar. You're actually right about that. 3 kids were shot in one of the shootings. A 9-year-old girl died. The other 2 are in critical condition. So what's the story here? Well, in Chicago, gun violence over the weekend is a common thing. Same with Baltimore, Los Angeles, St. Louis, you name it. But it never makes the news. But okay, let's look at Chicago. A mass shooter is on the loose in Chicago. So how do they decide what is a big media story and what is not? How do they decide? Somebody goes and shoots up a bowling alley, that's a big deal. We cover it, it's a big story. Somebody goes and shoots up a party in Chicago, 43 shots, 7 killed over the weekend, it's not a story, nobody covers it. Now, we could understand, okay, you go shoot up a school. Okay, I guess we all understand why that gets all the attention. But this is a story where children got shot. One got killed. Where is the media? Where are the gun grabbers? Where are the Democrats? So, old Anna is absolutely right. This story's barely a blip on anyone's radar. Why? Why aren't people talking about a mass shooter on the loose in Chicago? Why aren't people talking about a mass shooter that killed a child in Chicago? Because that goes against the narrative. That goes against the narrative. We can't talk about gun violence in Chicago. It doesn't demographically fit our narrative. We can't talk about gun violence in Chicago. We can't talk about a mass shooter in Chicago. We can't make a big deal out of a mass shooter in Chicago and claim that we need to take the guns. We already took all the guns. Don't you see? Chris Murphy, Democrat from Connecticut, he's celebrating how they took all the guns. And it stopped the violent crime. He can't talk about Chicago. They claim gun violence is down in Chicago. Yeah, okay, there's normally 50 shootings a weekend. Now there's only 47. Woohoo. We did it with gun control. Yeah. It's not a big story. The liberals, they love hyping up gun violence. They love any excuse to grab the guns. Why aren't they talking about the mass shooter that killed a child? Part of a weekend of violence, typical activity in Chicago. Why aren't they making a big deal out of that? I've been monitoring more than normal CNN and MSNBC just to kind of get their read on this Trump thing. And it's just as deranged as you would expect, possibly more. They don't mention it. Not even a mention of the mass murderer on the loose. No calls for gun control from Democrats. The Democrats aren't covering it either. Why? It doesn't fit their narrative. But then they go after a man. You want to talk about barely being a blip on the radar? Dexter Taylor, known as Carbon Mike, was buying some different parts for guns. We've interviewed him on the show. Buying some different parts, fully legal, and then basically making a custom-made gun. Never took it out of his house, never publicly promoted it, nothing like that. Just in his own home, just tinkering with things. Somehow, he gets charged. So they were obviously spying on him illegally. So Dexter Taylor, an American citizen, was being spied on illegally. And then they came and arrested him and charged him. He already spent time in Rikers. Now he's been charged, found guilty on all charges. He is being sentenced May 13th. He's in Rikers until then. Never committed a violent crime. No victims, and he's found guilty after illegally being spied on, and he sits in Rikers prison right now, and barely a blip on anyone's radar. So the law-abiding citizen with no victims and no crimes rots in a prison cell, but the mass shooters in Chicago, Illinois, roam the streets freely. And by the way, where's the NRA on this? Nothing from the NRA on this. Zero zilch, nada. What's their excuse at this point? Some of the top NRA spokespeople have covered this story, including Dan Lash. Where's the NRA? So, yeah, you don't have any victims. You don't commit any crimes. You just tinker with guns in your private house. They're coming after you and throwing you in jail. You commit a mass shooting in Chicago, completely ignored. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. And you're roaming the streets loosely. Where do you run if the leftists destroy America? Where do you go when they line you up, put you in a gulag, or just cut your head off like they do throughout human history? Where do you go? Well, you go to InfoWarsStore.com. How about that? Were you expecting that? No, you weren't. InfoWarsStore.com, folks, that's how we stay on air. It's your support there. That's how we're able to cover the news stories that others won't, because we don't have the big Hollywood, big fast food, big pharma sponsors that limit what other news organizations can say. We're fully independent with your funding at InfoWarsStore.com. We have great products, by the way. Now, we have all the great supplements. I'm a product of the products at InfoWarsStore.com. But there's one supplement that's key. There's one product that's key to making all the others work better. Well, really, there's two. But it's all about blood flow. It's all about having good circulation. And we have two great products for that. We have VasoBeat Complete at InfoWarsStore.com, or we have Nitric Boost, 40% off right now. This is the biggest discount we've had on it. 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And so this is all about vasodilation. This is all about blood flow. This is all about making sure you have good circulation. And it just enhances everything else when you're talking about blood flow and circulation. It enhances all the other supplements as well, making sure that there's good blood flow. Nitric Boost on sale, 25% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Nitric Boost, 25% off. Again, nothing but five-star reviews. One of the many great supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. It's organic when we open up the phone lines and people want to talk about the products because they are that great. And Nitric Boost is one of the great ones, 25% off. It's all about blood flow. It's all about circulation. It's all about your health. Nitric Boost, 25% off at InfoWarsStore.com. It just enhances all the other supplements as well when you have that good circulation and vasodilation. Nitric Boost, InfoWarsStore.com, 25% off. All right. Okay. All right, let's get into some of this other political news. Mike Johnson has ended up being a complete letdown. Many people might now even think that he's worse than Kevin McCarthy. It's a fair debate. And that's not to say that removing Kevin McCarthy was a bad thing. I'd still say it was a good thing. I'd do it again. This is just sending a message now. If you want to be a Republican leader, then you need to act like a leader and not be Chuck Schumer's little bitch like Mitch McConnell and I guess like Mike Johnson. But again, why did Mike Johnson turncoat on the American people on the FISA bill? And he says, oh, well, I got shown something in a classified hearing, and so now I'm voting in support of the illegal spying. Well, what did you get shown in that hearing, Mike, and why can't the American people know it? Was Mike Johnson told that a terror threat is imminent in this country because of the wide-open southern border, but we're not allowed to know that? Or was Mike Johnson shown something a little more personal that decided to make him change his vote? What was Mike Johnson shown that made him change his FISA vote? And why can't the American people see it? If it's so important, Mike, if it caused you and other members of Congress to violate their oath to the Constitution, well, why can't we, the people, see it? Is there a known terror threat, imminent terror threat, because of the open southern border, Mike? We'd like to know. You haven't secured the border, Mike. Maybe you should try that on for size. So listen to this speech, though. As his latest funding bill, nearly $100 billion, $50 billion for Ukraine, $20 billion for Israel. I mean, it's just, it never stops. It never stops. Your infrastructure's falling apart. You don't have a southern border, but don't worry. We got money for Ukraine. We got money for Israel, and Mike Johnson is there to make sure of it. Another turncoat, another weak-kneed, pathetic Republican, another Chuck Schumer bitch boy. So, but here's his excuse. Listen to what he said to the media on his excuse for this funding bill.
Look, we are in unprecedented times, okay? We're in dangerous times, as has been articulated here, around the world, and here at home. We need steady leadership. We need steady hands at the wheel. I regard myself as a wartime speaker. I mean, in a literal sense, we are. I knew that when I took
wartime speaker, huh?
I didn't anticipate that this would be an easy path. Former Speaker Newt Gingrich posted a couple days ago on his social media that this is the hardest challenge that's faced a speaker probably in the history of the country, in the moment we're in right now. He said arguably maybe comparable to the Civil War, but maybe worse.
Now imagine believing that. I would say it's the easiest time, actually, Mike. It's actually extremely easy. No more foreign funding, no more foreign aid, no more funding of wars, and secure the southern border. There it is, Mike. I just did your job for you. Wow. Guys, what did that take? 10 seconds, Mike. That took me 10 seconds. Wow, that was hard. Woo, long day's work for me. Wartime speaker. Who are we at war with? Are we at war with Iran? Are we at war with Russia? Who are we at war with exactly, Speaker? A wartime speaker, you say? Dangerous times ever? Well, why is that? Is it because the southern border is open? Well, why don't you secure the southern border? I just did your job. Here, let's start a timer. Mike Johnson, hardest time to be the speaker ever. I say it's the easiest. Let's start a timer. Okay, stop all foreign aid, stop funding all the foreign wars, and secure the southern border. Bing! 5 seconds. Hardest time ever. Here's Thomas Massie responding. He says, get a grip. We are not at war. You can't use that as an excuse to justify passage of warrantless spying, a bloated omnibus, or $100 billion in foreign aid. It's so hard. It's so hard, the decisions I have to make here every day to betray the American people. I guess that's the hard part for you, isn't it? But you make it seem pretty easy. Actually, J.D. Vance responding, if your bill rebuilds our defense industrial base at a slower pace than it sends weapons overseas, it's not about America's security, and it's not about our defense industrial base. At this point, the entire Russia-Ukraine debate borders on fantasy. We need some realism. J.D. Vance. Yeah, what about America's petroleum reserves, energy reserves, our southern border? There was a testimony today. It just happened. I don't know if it's even hit the news yet. Congressional testimony today. Most of the military aircraft, specifically F-35s, are not even operable, and they don't have pilots to fly them. Oh, you mean that diversity hire that chopped his wiener off and puts the clown makeup on can't fly a plane? Well, that's all right. At least they're getting their hormone pills. At least they're getting their hormone medication. I don't know if that hit the news. It just happened today. Government testimony, the military, most aircraft is not even operable, specifically F-35s, and they don't have pilots to fly them. But don't worry. We got plenty of money for Ukraine. We can train Ukraine. And even the pilots that can fly them, they're training Ukraine pilots. Must be hard, Mike, to betray the country. I suppose that is hard. I suppose that is difficult for you. But you make it look easy, so I'll give you that. You do make it look easy. Now, here's Mitch McConnell. Again, Chuck Schumer runs the entire Congress. Chuck Schumer has all these guys on a dog leash. It's actually just pathetic. So the Republicans move forward impeachment of Mayorkas, who's facilitated the largest land invasion in the history of planet Earth. Biden's border invasion, it is the largest land invasion in the history of planet Earth. In all of human history, no invasion has had more people invade a country than Biden's border, Mayorkas' border. They move forward the articles of impeachment. Here's what Mitch McConnell says.
Today, it falls to the Senate to determine whether and to what extent Secretary Mayorkas enabled and inflamed this crisis.
I can't hear you with Chuck Schumer's dick in your mouth.
Rules of impeachment. It is the job of this
body. Maybe quit gargling Schumer's balls and maybe I can understand you.
Brought before us and to render judgment. The question right now should be how best to ensure that the charges on the table receive thorough consideration. But instead, the more pressing question is whether our Democratic colleagues intend to let the Senate work its will at all. Tabling articles of impeachment would be unprecedented in the history of the Senate. It's as simple.
Unprecedented. The Democrats do it all the time.
Tabling would mean declining to discharge our duties as jurors. It would mean running both.
I'm sorry, guys. It's hard to understand Chuck Schumer as he's gargling Chuck Schumer's testes there. So let me just translate there. He's not going to impeach Mayorkas, and he's going to make sure Mayorkas is not impeached because he's Chuck Schumer's little bitch boy. So with Republican leadership like this, who needs a country? The Democrats run the whole show. All right, we got a Greg Reese report talking about how these businesses are now going to be turned into government spies. Edward Snowden is also warning about this. He says the NSA is just days away from taking over the internet, and it's not on the front page of any newspaper because no one has noticed. If you work at a U.S. tech firm, this bill could transform your whole company into a spy machine, whether you like it or not, and will be voted on in days. The entire industry needs to be lobbying to kill this thing. This is what a red alert looks like. But don't worry, with leadership like McConnell and Johnson, they love the Democrat deep state government power, so I'm sure they'll be supporting this and sabotage any Republican resistance to this. Here's Greg Reese reporting.
An absolutely indispensable tool that Congress can give us in our fight against foreign adversaries is the reauthorization of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It is critical in securing our nation, and we are in crunch time with our 702 authority set to expire next week. So let me be clear, failure to reauthorize 702 or gutting it with some new kind of warrant requirement would be dangerous and put Americans' lives at risk.
Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act was enacted to make it easier for the government to address foreign terrorist threats. Targeting Americans is prohibited, but intelligence agencies have used Section 702 to spy on hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. And this week, it's looking to get a lot worse. Elizabeth Goitein of the Liberty and National Security Program at the Brennan Center for Justice does a great job of explaining it and sounding the alarm. Buried in the Section 702 reauthorization bill passed by the House on Friday is the biggest expansion of domestic surveillance since the Patriot Act. Under current law, the government can compel electronic communication service providers that have direct access to communications to assist the NSA in conducting Section 702 surveillance. Companies like Verizon and Google must turn over the communications of targets, which officially must be foreigners overseas, but this has been abused to spy on Americans. By changing the definition of electronic communications surveillance provider, an amendment offered by House Intel Committee leaders and passed by the House vastly expands the universe of entities that can be compelled to assist the NSA. If the bill becomes law, any company or individual that provides any service whatsoever may be forced to assist in NSA surveillance, as long as they have access to equipment on which communications are transmitted or stored. When the amendment was first unveiled, civil liberties advocates noted that the provision would encompass hotels, libraries, and coffee shops, and so they were excluded. But the vast majority of U.S. businesses remain fair game, including barbershops, laundromats, fitness centers, hardware stores, and any small business that provides Wi-Fi to their customers via routers. It also includes commercial landlords that rent out offices, which would target journalists, lawyers, financial advisors, healthcare providers, and anyone renting commercial office space. The amendment even includes service providers who come into our homes, such as house cleaners, plumbers, and IT service providers, all of whom could be forced to serve as surrogate spies and be required to give the NSA direct access. And none of them would be allowed to tell anyone. They would be under a gag order and would face heavy penalties if they failed to comply. Having wholesale access to domestic communications, the NSA would then be on the honor system to retain only the communications of approved foreign targets. And we know from past experience that they cannot be trusted to do this. The Senate is scheduled to vote on the bill this week. Section 702 expires on April 19th, but the Biden administration has obtained FISA court approval to continue Section 702 surveillance until April of 2025.
Full video can be found on band.video on the Reese Report channel.
I really doubt that we're going to see an inflationary cycle. That's a transitory thing.
Is infrastructure fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why are conservatives bad, Mommy? Because I thought we were supposed to conserve things.
The border is closed. The border is secure.
The border is closed. The border is secure.
United States protect.
Details on that, Jackie. You're going to have to let me get back to you on that.
Who will be held accountable for this? This embarrassment.
Again, I take full responsibility.
And we are in a strong, we are stronger economically than we have been in history.
Yeah, it's the Looney Tunes administration. It is the Looney Tunes administration. It's Looney Tunes land with these clowns running it. That's from Maze on Twitter. But it's perfect. It's like a 90s or 80s TV show with all these clown characters. It'd be a good comedy show if they weren't destroying the country. Here's an example. And this post has gone massively viral, and I back-checked because I saw this, and I was like, well, hold on a second. Are these numbers true? And I went and searched, and it's these numbers are real. You can go plug it into a search engine, and you will find all of these numbers are real. So as they tell you, it's the greatest economy ever, Jack. Here's Pamsy now. You wanted Build Back Better? Well, here it is. Walmart is closing 23 stores in 8 states, all Democrats, all Democrat areas. Target is closing 9 stores in 4 states, all Democrat areas. Walgreens is closing 900 stores, mostly Democrat areas. Bed Bath & Beyond is closing its remaining 360 stores. Lowe's has closed 50 stores. Macy's is closing 150 stores. Starbucks has closed 61 stores. Home Depot is closing 15 stores. Dollar Tree is closing 1,000 stores. Foot Locker is closing 400 stores. Gap is closing 350 stores. Party City is closing 24 stores. Big Lots is closing stores in California and Colorado. Burger King is closing 400 stores. Best Buy is closing 20 stores. Boston Market is closing 27 stores. Kmart has only 2 left. Sears closed all but 22 stores. Regal Cinemas has closed 429 movie theaters. Kroger Grocery Chain has closed 413 stores. U.S. Bank is closing 23 branches. Wells Fargo is closing over 60 branches. Capital One is closing 50 branches. Bank of America is closing 20 branches because the economy is great. Bidenomics, baby. Greatest economy ever, Jack. Greatest economy ever, Jack. All right. Let's just pick up and put down some of this news, and we're going to be hearing from Alex Jones with some major economic news and developments with Kirk Elliott coming up the remainder of this hour and the fourth hour. Let's go overseas here. Israel strikes kill several at refugee camp in central Gaza. 9 missing as 2 confirmed killed in Gaza City bombing. 7 killed in Israeli strike on house in Rafah. And Netanyahu just came out and made a huge announcement. It's what we all expected, that Israel is just destroying the Gaza Strip and killing as many as possible so they can take it over, settle it, and build a new Israeli city. And he got $5 billion from the Biden administration to do just that. So you stand down on October 7th. That gives yourself cover to engage in what many are considering a genocide. And then you conquer the land. You use October 7th as your excuse for the whole thing. You do whatever you need to do so. Whatever, how many people die, how much property is destroyed, whatever, they don't care. And then you build your new city. And that's exactly what's going on. And Netanyahu admitted it. Amazing. Anti-Semitic incidents in Colorado rose 199% in 2023. Oh, wow. And I wonder why that is. Of course, all these numbers are from the ADL. All these numbers are from the ADL, and all these numbers are probably fudged or just phony attacks. But you know what? Here's my issue. Anti-American incidents in America are up 10,000%, let's say. Who's reporting on that? Who's making a story out of that? We have people burning American flags in the streets. We have people chanting death to USA in the streets. We have political representatives in multiple states that don't even speak English. We have a wide open southern border. We have political persecution going on at levels never before seen in this country. So pardon me if I don't give a damn about your phony anti-Semitic attack numbers. How about anti-American attack numbers? How about anti-Americanism on the rise 10,000%, 100,000%? How about that? Where's that story? Where's that headline? Where's anybody caring about that? Where's an American lobby? There's your story. There's your headline. There's what's going to cripple the country. But they just, oh, it's all this obsession over anti-Semitism. It's all bought and paid for content anyway. Like verified pro-Nazi X accounts flourish under Elon Musk. Oh, yes. And they say it's 150 accounts. They name like two, but they say it's 150. So what are there, 100 million Twitter users or more? A billion? I don't know. And it's 150, and they say it's Nazis. If you criticize Israel, you're a Nazi. If you don't want genocide, you're a Nazi. If you don't like the ADL, you're a Nazi. And it's just all this garbage. And it's just, oh my gosh, your country's being destroyed and your border is wide open and all these other problems. But my God, we have got to stop anti-Semitism. It is the biggest issue, and nothing else matters. Yeah, you're going to lose your country and you're going to lose your sovereignty and you're going to be broke and your cities are going to be turned into third world hellholes. But my God, we have to protect Jews. My God. Nobody's buying it, though. This was a huge story. It got syndicated everywhere. You open up your browser, whether it's Yahoo or Bing or MSN or whatever it is. This was the top story a couple days ago. How did Joe Biden's foreign policy go so off course? And it talks about how all these geopolitical developments have only happened under Joe Biden. Like people bombing embassies, people attacking Israel, what's going on in Russia and Ukraine and the millions dead there. And it's all this horrible stuff. And they're just saying, it's funny, this only happened after Joe Biden became president. What is going on? How could this be? Well, yeah. Stolen elections have consequences. Failed deterrence. Iran attack on Israel, a second failure of Biden administration's attempt to stop the conflict. Well, it's all for show. Folks, it's all for show. The Iranian leaders and the Israeli leaders are calling each other and they're just doing these show strikes. But Israel is actually, I mean, really, they're targeting people. They're targeting military leadership and Hezbollah leadership in Lebanon or any embassies where they might be at. That's about the only real activity happening there. Iran and Israel going back and forth with all this other saber rattling. It's all contrived. It's all controlled. They're on the phone telling each other when it's going to go on. Iran warned Israel they were going to send all the missiles their way. That's why they were so prepared to handle it. They made sure they didn't send anything they couldn't handle. So this is just Iran flexing the power structure, trying to remain in power, pretending they're going to do something against Israel. I don't think they are going to. I think it's pretty clear at this point. So they'll saber rattle again, and they'll make some big statements again. But they're on the phone with one another saying, Hey, we got to send some missiles your way because we got to let our people know that we're serious about actually dealing with you. But we're not going to actually do anything. So just to let you know, we're going to send about 200 missiles. So just have your defenses ready. I mean, I know people glide in on parasails and, you know, they can somehow penetrate the highest security state in the world and the Iron Dome and everything else. They can just fly in. It takes hours and they can do that just fine. And you don't even know what's going on for hours. But don't worry. We're going to tell you, you know, they're coming in with these missiles. So you'll be prepared. Bolton says now is the opportunity for Israel to destroy Iran nuclear. I mean, these people are just sick. John Bolton is just sick. What, is he making a pitch to be in another cabinet? Did somebody pay for that message? Tell you, you know what would stop all this real quick? You know what would end all this real quick? If all these people who are clamoring for war, whatever side you're on, whether you're pro-Israel, anti-Israel, pro-Iran, anti-Iran, whatever it is, you know what would stop all this? Go ahead, go fight yourself. Oh, that shuts you up, doesn't it? Oh, you don't want to go defend Israel. You don't want to go defend Palestine. You want to sit here on the streets of the United States of America and wave a flag. You want to sit here on the United States of America and block traffic. You want to sit here in the United States of America and bitch and complain about how hard it is for Israel. Why don't you go over there and fight? Go ahead. Oh, no, you're not interested? You want to stay here, do you? That's funny. That's funny. By the way, these street protests, something has to be done. And I'm all about First Amendment activity, and I'm all about protests, and that's fine. But something has to be done about this. You can't block traffic. You can't disturb people's lives. I mean, this could be potentially deadly. There could be ambulances. You could cause car accidents. This is out of control. So if you want to go out and do a street protest, you want to go out and block traffic, all paid for by the Democrat Party, fine, you're going to jail. This is out of control at this point. This is a joke at this point, just like they did earlier this week in a dozen American cities blocking traffic. There could be a lady who's about to give birth. There could be a hospital trip with an ambulance and they can't get through traffic. I mean, you could cause an accident. There's 100 different things that can go wrong. If you want to do a protest, that's fine. But if you're going to stand in the street and block traffic, you're going to prison. This is ridiculous. Stand on the side of the road and let people get throughout their day. Or I'm even for going to the Capitol. Go do it in the Capitol. I think that's more First Amendment protected activity. You're not disturbing other people's lives. That's the government building. That's protected speech directly with the First Amendment addressing redresses of government. So I'd say you should be protected to go into the Capitol and engage in First Amendment activity, not in the streets. It's gotten out of control at this point. It needs to be stopped. All right. Israel strikes Hezbollah commander in Lebanon. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm moving on. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the wars. It's all unnecessary. We don't even get the truth about any of it, and we fund all of it. So I'm just sick of it all. I'm just done. All right, let's look at some couple other developments that we have going on here before we hand it over to Alex. All right, so there's a crazy story coming out of California. Google begins removal of California news ahead of proposed law. Google threatens to cut off news after California proposes paying media outlets. So it's just new ways for Democrats to rig search results and rig news results and then try to cut out independent news organizations. It's the Journalism Preservation Act. And Google's responding. Google has begun showing lawmakers in California the consequences of its pending legislation known as Assembly Bill 886, otherwise known as the California Journalism Prevention Act. Last year, the Californian state government had introduced the California Journalism Prevention Act, which would require social media platforms such as Google and Meta to pay a monthly journalism usage fee for work that appears on their services. The fee would be determined via an arbitration process decided by a panel of three judges based on the social media platform's monthly ad revenue. Now, of course, this is the reverse effect. If you're showing up on Google, people pay to show up on Google. Like, you want to show up. That increases your traffic. This is all about California just getting involved. This is all about the Democrats just getting involved and finding new ways to stick their nose in other people's businesses. And I'm sure they're going to want to find a way to tax all this too. And that's what they're saying it is. And this is Google pushing back. Meta Platforms has already issued a stark warning to California officials saying it may withdraw news altogether in its home state. Yeah, why should you pay for a service that other people want? That's like asking if I hire a maid and then she pays me. Now, Google, in a blog post last week, wrote that the California Journalism Prevention Act is putting support of the news ecosystem at risk, calling it a link tax that would require Google to pay for simply connecting Californians to news articles. you want your news article on Google. But I think there's another story here. I think that outlets like the New York Times, the Washington Post, San Francisco Chronicle, they're hemorrhaging cash. They don't make money, folks. I mean, you're seeing all these other leftist news organizations shut down. They don't have these billionaire owners that buy it just for control of the media. Or it's like a ritual process for the Democrats. It's like, hey, we won't send the IRS after you, but you need to buy the New York Times and take this hit so that we can just have this propaganda outlet, even though it doesn't make money. But don't worry, the IRS won't come after you. Don't worry, we won't publish any negative stories about you. But like the LA Times, the LA Times is hemorrhaging cash. They can't make money. So it's this effort to save these fake news organizations, and it's just not going to work. But here's how they operate. If you're NBC News and you hire Ronna McDaniel and she doesn't fully cuck to the Democrat Party narrative, they fire you. They gave her the initiation process on the air. To Ronna's credit, I'm extremely critical of Ronna, but to her credit, she went on air and she did not get on the knee for the Democrat Party propaganda. And so they fired her. And then you have the NPR, 25 years at NPR, and he's saying, yep, the Democrats run it now. It's a total leftist organization. It's not neutral. It pretends to be neutral. It's not. He loses his job, and then they hire a left-wing radical Biden supporter, mask wearer, vaccine pusher. And I'm going to have more clips from her tomorrow. People are looking into her more. Folks, this woman is a full-blown leftist extremist who says it's okay to lie, cheat, and steal for the Democrat Party agenda because we have the moral high ground. And that's how they operate, folks. All right. I'm out of time with you today. Remember to shop at InfoWarsStore.com so that we can continue to be live 10 hours a day, 4 hours on Sunday, plus special Saturday reports with special guests as well. Harrison Smith in the morning, the Alex Jones Show in your afternoon slot, and me in the late afternoon drive. We want to keep this going, so remember to shop at InfoWarsStore.com. Huge specials right now, bodies, 40% off, nitric boost, 25% off. We also have 40% off Vitamin Mineral Fusion back in stock. Very popular. It's all at InfoWarsStore.com. And now I hand the reins over to Alex Jones, and he will take us the rest of the way.
I think the U.S. economy is about to hit the skids, and Russia and the BRICS nations are playing a masterful game of chess. And our administration's going in with like a checkerboard. They're not even...
And the Federal Reserve has signaled they're done with interest rates.
And things are going to get so bad, the globalists are going to usher in a new world of central bank digital currency.
A form of money you cannot see. Central bank digital currencies.
They don't hide in the shadows anymore. They tell us exactly what they're going to do.
Exactly. That's what's so frustrating. If you study it, you know the battle plan, but they know the public doesn't check that out. So, but we're able to give it to the public. That could really mess up their operation.
The world is going to see a functioning CBDC very soon, within the coming year.
We saw bank failure 1.0. It was Silicon Valley, Credit Suisse, First Republic, Silvergate Bank. I mean, all of those.
First, we had the effects of a dramatic rise in interest rates, leading to the closure of Silicon Valley Bank, Signature Bank, and First Republic Bank.
That was just a tremor before the bank failure.
Yes, I think bank failures 2.0 is coming. I mean, just last week, the CEO of Citigroup said we're laying off 10% of our workforce. So at times of crisis, which happens to be happening during an election year, people will say, okay, this is so bad. Banks are shutting down, all this economic failure. We'll give you what you want. Government just will give you away our freedoms. Just take care of us. Make sure that we can still feed our family.
But this is happening in surprising numbers. We all sort of take our local bank for granted until it's gone.
That's happening in 4,000 other locations around the country. And I think in the months ahead, we'll get more failures of regional banks around office space and commercial real estate.
Surveillance and privacy issues could arise if the central bank is able to monitor every transaction.
We've had, over the last 3 weeks, major disturbances in the banking world, right?
This comes after the regional bank suffered a week-long plunge in its stock, plus a credit downgrade.
We've seen stocks of things like Comerica Bank, PacWest Bank, New York Community Bank, and even Schwab to start to hit the skids.
Which, by the way, when you first came on months ago, you predicted this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the writing was on the wall.
There's another big concern that a central bank-issued digital currency could cause a bank run during economic instability.
Here's the ugly reality. We are no different than Argentina, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Greece, Cyprus. Any country who loses demand for their currency and is forced to print, they go into an inflationary spiral that brings social chaos. Tangible assets like gold and silver are so important, not just because they're growing, because I think it's a means to protect your financial privacy and financial freedom. I think there's going to be alternative systems of using tangible assets like gold and silver to back private currencies for individuals to actually be able to transact business on their own, not be a digital slave in their digital world. These are the kind of solutions that I've been shouting from the rooftops for decades, Alex. Inflation is coming. What happens to tangible assets like gold and silver during inflation? They go up.
People do need to get basic gold and silver. They need to at least stick their toe in the ocean and do it. They need to go to your website, KEPM.com/gold. KEPM.com/gold. That's KEPM.com/gold. Or call 720-605-3900. And they need to talk to you folks and start getting gold and silver bullion now. But regardless, we're in for an insane time. Elliot, economist, a PhD, predicted months ago. Now it's in Reuters and AP today. Regional banks face big hurdles as year as SVB collapse. Regional bank crisis is not over. CPI versus rate cuts, the Fed's mission impossible. Top economists, including Obama's former Treasury Secretary, discover real inflation number that Biden has reached is 18%+, still hovering at 40-year high, and that itself is a whitewash. Dr. Kirk Elliott, I've known about you for decades, and your company's top rated. That's why we haven't had a gold or silver company as a sponsor in over 10 years, because I went out and tried a few of them that were supposedly good, and they would say they were going to sell gold and silver bullion at very low prices and give good advice, but they would bait and switch into the numismatic or the collectible. And I just couldn't find a good company. And then we reached out to you. It's been awesome. And I know you've worked with so many folks like WorldNet Daily decades ago. You've been around 25 years. Super respected. Every time you come on, you don't really talk about your company. I have to make you do it. You just want to warn people about what's happening. But if people want high-quality gold and silver at the lowest prices with great advice, and then people that, you know, hold your hand and also then let you sell it back for nothing, you know, no cost, that's really, really important. You guys are the best in the business. Before we get into all this up front, spend 5 minutes about your company and what you think some of the smart things people can do is right now. Then we'll plunge into all the technicals.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's great being back here again. It's going to be an amazing day of bad news filled with hope because we have a solution. But this is what we've been doing, Alex, I've been in this business since 1996. And you know what? When I started, I didn't like the, sorry for you car salesmen out there, but the used car salesman mentality where people would just promise the moon, charge really high commissions, coming and going, and then forget about you in between. So our firm took a completely different approach, because when something is growing like gold or silver, and maybe it doubles, triples, quadruples over the years, over the decades, and you have a commission on the back end, that becomes really, really expensive, right? So we decided, okay, let's just do it at zero. Charge nothing when people liquidate. So all of the profits are theirs. You know, whatever the depository pays for metals on that day, they get it all. Now, a lot of the firms in the industry focus on storied coins, things of history, semi-numismatic collectible stuff.
Oh, a ship sank 200 years ago and we've got it.
Yeah. Or Jack Sparrow, whatever, right? So, or even something with an amazing person that we know, like a Trump coin or some famous person. It's like they all have a story. They all sell for high premiums. My goal and our firm's goal is to minimize your cost, maximize your ounces. That's one of the keys to wealth. And gold and silver are very, very not just technically oriented, fundamentally driven by supply and demand, but politically motivated metals. The worst things get in the world which everything that you just described is like awful. We're going into a wartime. That will cause gold and silver to go through the roof. Now, you couple that with the fundamentals of the markets, supply and demand, we're running out, right? The COMEX depository is running out, and we're going to go over some of that in detail today. But when you have political, economic fundamentals, technical charts, you know, all kind of reaching the same point at the same time, there's an opportunity to be successful in your investing, to grow, to thrive, to be in the right place at the right time. And in the light of bad news, your finances don't have to go down the bad news scale. So one of the things that we've found where people are really scared about over the decades, Alex, this isn't just something new, is their retirement accounts. So a lot of people don't realize you can do physical gold or silver in your retirement accounts, in your IRAs, in your old 401ks once you've left the company, and we can help navigate through that. Because that's where most people's wealth is actually stored up. In today's world, a lot of people don't have just cash sitting on hand because they have to use it because of Bidenomics. People are running out of money as inflationary pressures, taxes going up, interest rates going up. They just don't have a lot, but they have wealth stored up in their retirement accounts, and we can do tax-free rollovers into IRAs, allocate into physical metals, and really take advantage of the trends that are in front of us. And some of these trends, Alex, are things that we don't necessarily like. For example, the green agenda, the globalist agenda, moving everybody away from the petrodollar, away from fossil fuels, going into energy efficient, green, solar, electric vehicles, all of that. You know what? All of that requires silver. That massive amount of demand is causing the prices to go up. And I've got some charts to show everybody where since the last time we spoke, Alex, on air, silver has gone from $22 an ounce to $28 an ounce.
Which, by the way, you said in the next few months, 25. So it outperformed what you predicted.
Absolutely, it's outperformed.
And by the way, if people would have invested in silver and gold 2 years ago, like you said they should, what's their return versus the stock market?
Well, so about three and a half years ago, silver was $11.91 an ounce, and now we're at 28. So we're up over 100%, 120-something% in 3.5 years. But 3.5 years ago, it was $17.97, not $11.91. $11.91 was its low point a while back. But what we're looking at is over 100% return in 3.5 years.
Nothing else is performing like that.
Nothing else is performing.
Not Apple.
Like that. No. Not Apple, nothing. And so I did a long-term longitudinal study of the five different major asset categories that you could go into, which would be stocks, bonds, real estate, CDs.
Is that gold. The graph we got now?
No, that's telling us about silver and why it's so important. That's a confusing graph. But what that chart tells us is you see that pennant formation. When it squeezes at the end, it's about to basically go through the roof.
I interrupted. So what, you gave us 100 graphs. Which one should they pull? I didn't mean to interrupt. Go back to what you were saying about.
So you go back to the year 2000 and I did a 24 year longitudinal study. You know what the number one asset class in the world was during that time? Silver. Number two was gold. Number three was the stock market. But when you look at that and what we're seeing right now, it's like of those top three, which were actually the only three that were outperforming inflation. See, if you don't outperform inflation, you're actually losing money over the years.
That's right. People think, oh, my house that I bought 10 years ago for $500,000 is worth $2 million. You're still not outperforming inflation.
Correct. You're not. You're actually falling behind every year. And I've got clients that'll call me every single day and say, Kirk, I've heard you on the air and I'm listening to your advice and I pulled out of the markets and I'm just sitting in cash. It's like, okay, what's that cash getting you? Well, today, it, you know, maybe 4 or 5%, but inflation, even according to the news, you 18. Just said 18%. This is what I did my dissertation on. My first one is I developed a new methodology for measuring inflation because the BLS numbers were completely bogus and wrong. And when they say that we've got 3.5% inflation, technically, that's around 15%. And I'm shocked that Obama's, you know, official said that, yeah, we're actually at this 15% because that's confirmation of my numbers. But if you're not getting at least 15% a year return on your investments, you're falling behind due to inflation. So let's do the math on that. Let's say you're getting 5% on a CD for 10 years and inflation's at 15%. You're losing 10% a year. Over 10 years, you've lost 100% of the value of your investment due to inflationary losses. So this is why it's important to outpace inflation. The only thing that's done that over the last 25 years, silver is number one, gold is number two. The stock market is a distant number three, but it's still a little bit positive. So our goal is to teach people and equip them and empower them to be in the right place at the right time.
And let's expand on the stock market. Most of these companies charge you when you sell. You're not doing that. So they'll show you in the stock market on average some aggregate what the gain is, but they're not putting the fees in.
Correct. They're not putting the fees in at all. So there's hidden fees in the prospectus. You know, there's management fees. These no-load mutual funds don't do stuff for free. Right. So there's all these.
Well, they've had memos come out in Congress where they laugh. The real stock market is charging people the fees.
Yeah, they are. And if people were to realize it's like, oh, I'm getting a 5% return on my mutual fund. You know what the mutual fund company is probably making is about 7 to 8% more than that, hidden in the fees, in the prospectus, because they're not doing stuff for free year after year after year after year. So what we did when we put our company together is it's not my money. It's the
client. Well, you did the opposite. There's no fees. That's
zero.
Completely.
Yeah.
Cut the scam out.
We don't charge ongoing for our time or for assets under management. We don't even charge when people liquidate. Because my theory, Alex, is it's not my money. It's theirs. And I don't even think it's their money.
But you're also very upfront with the 8% deal. You give them advice, give them everything. That pays your stuff, and then boom, you're there to help them so they get a great return and then they start investing more with you. Treat people like you want to be treated.
Absolutely. I mean, the only ongoing fee is if you're storing your metals in a depository, there's a cost of storage and it's a small dinky percent. If it's in an IRA, it's a flat fee of $300 a year. I don't care if you have a $10 account or a $100 million account, you have to store the physical metal somewhere. But if you take delivery of it at home, there is no ongoing fee. It's 8%.
But you better have a safe under the floor. And you better not let anybody know.
You better, and don't let anybody know that it's there.
Dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, so I store all of mine at a vault, at a depository, which has unlimited insurance.
Now, I want to be clear. Plus, I had to get rid of everything I had. But even when I had it, it was in a safety deposit box. Folks, and those aren't perfectly safe either, but do not store this stuff in your house. You're asking to get robbed.
Well, it just puts you at risk. And so what I did with my personal assets, what I advise everybody to do, open up a depository storage account. Not all depositories are created equal. And this is important. A lot of times a firm will say, well, we'll store it for you for free. It's like, no, they won't. There's a cost of storage, right? So if you don't ever go with a depository that has a joint account, that operates like a fractional reserve bank. You own it, so do they.
They're loaning out your money.
Over and over and over and over again. That's not safe. You have to have singular ownership.
And that's where the globalists are moving, to bankrupt everything. That's the Build Back Better. Make us all put it in a global digital account where we give up rights to it and they fractionalize it. They derivative it.
Yes. A unified ledger is what the Bank for International Settlements called that. So when you have a depository that's singular ownership, segregated storage in your name only, not like some kind of unallocated number of ounces.
Yeah, you don't want some gold pool or silver cloud.
No, you don't want that. That's not safe. Unlimited insurance with a company that has God-fearing patriots that own it in a state like Texas, which legislatively is very favorable towards precious metals, unlike
other
states.
Or keep your mouth shut and bury it on the back 40.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then if you have a heart attack, that's where people dig up gold all the time from some old man.
All the time. I mean, we're entering a world of complete super surveillance, as you've talked about a ton. I was just before we started recording, I was watching TV. And
we're live, too, just so you know.
Yeah, we are live. And I was watching it was on Fox. I can't remember the news network, but they were talking about FISA Rule 702. Which basically says we're going to be able to survey everybody without warrant because of this new war on terror in
to protect
Iran.
Us from fentanyl and the Islamists we just let in the border.
Yeah, without warrant. So why would you want digital assets? Why would you want something that's basically makes you a digital slave in their digital world where they can survey everything?
This is a prime time to make your assets private. Take delivery or storage of a private asset that's not part of a digital world, that's not paper, it's not a certificate, and you have something.
Brother Elliot, this is a no-brainer for me. That's why I have you. So I only bring people things that I know is right. People can listen and know this is a no-brainer. I trust you've been around 25-plus years, got a great company, you have a totally different model, got 5-star ratings. This is the way to go. And again, if you can get farmland and have family and friends you trust and become self-sufficient, and first relationship with God, farmland, being able to take care of yourself, and then out of assets and investments, gold and silver, and I'd say silver now and gold, is paramount. And sure, have some Bitcoin as well, but that's all in the digital system. But it really is important. Guns are important and knowing how to use them, but the real thing in a total collapse is going to be no food. So the food comes first, but when you move past that and you go into investments, silver and gold. So when you're going down your checklist, it's the thing to do and you're the guy to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I get calls from naysayers all the time that say, or Kirk, food is most important. You can't eat your silver. It's like 100% you can't eat
your silver. But you can buy a lot of food with silver.
You can't. And you can't eat your stocks, bonds, or mutual funds either, right? So the thing is, having something that you could put in your pocket, use as barter, trade back and forth, something that's real, something that's private.
Well, look at the globalists. Look at the universities. Look at the institutions. Look at the hedge funds. Look at Larry Fink. They all are on record as being hoarders of gold and silver.
Mm-hmm. Absolute hoarders.
Guarantee you go to Larry Fink's house. It's like some giant, you know, palatial, I think it's in New Jersey. And I guarantee you there's gold buried in the backyard.
I mean, so Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, now Meta, okay, he's buying gold, a lot of it. And more so than that, he's actually doing what you just described. He's building like the Taj Mahal of bunkers.
By the way, I was just in Hawaii and did an investigation. I haven't got it together yet. You should remind me. It's all on my phone. I went to his house. And I worked with local people, and I have aerial surveillance of it. It's a giant, like, Mars base. They've been working on it 3 years. And while we flew over, there were dump trucks lined up going in and out. I mean, when you work on something 3 years, what the hell is he building?
It's the Taj Mahal of bunkers. Biden's building a bunker as well. A lot of billionaires are building bunkers. These are the people that are part of the World Economic Forum, the globalists. They're in meetings that we're not privy to. And I always want to ask the question, why?
Because they're getting ready to release a new super bioweapon.
Yeah, why? I mean,
nuclear war?
When you see that they're doing something, we always have to ask why, and what should we do to take countermeasures to protect ourselves financially? I would get out of paper. I would get out of digital assets. I would go into something that's tangible and real.
Now, the Great Reset is an admitted screw job. They're going to collapse all the paper, in their own words, Klaus Schwab, and then go, don't worry, we're going to save it. We're going to get a 10% haircut, a bail-in. Is what they say on average. You're the economist. You know all this. We give them the facts. You know all the documents right there. And then once you already accept that, now it's all pooled. Now you don't really own it. Now it's a commodity or now it's a derivative. And then they go in and you'll own nothing and love it. When he says that, that's what they're talking about.
That's 100% what they're talking about. I mean, this is what the unified ledger is. This is after Silicon Valley Bank went down a little over, it was about a year ago, right? What did they do? They changed bankruptcy laws for financial institutions to have beneficial ownership of assets rather than you owning, Alex, your deposits, your checking account, your savings account. They own it, and you become a beneficiary of that. That's the mechanism.
It's like, oh, we're not going to just let you go fly on a plane. We put a carbon tax, which is already starting in many countries, and France already banned last year domestic flights because it's bad for the environment, short flights for commercial flyers, not for the elites. They're just like, you know what? We'll manage all your money. It's ours now. I mean, they're saying it's our money now.
Well, so what most people don't understand is when you have a checking account or a savings account, that's actually a security instrument that you've created. Why? Because it's not like you put $1,000 in your bank account and you open up the big bank vault door and there's hundreds that come flying out. No, there's really nothing in the bank vault. Because they're using it to buy real estate, commercial real estate, stocks, bonds, companies, whatever. And they're just hoping and praying, Alex, that not everybody wants their withdrawals out on the same time because they're using it. So whenever you give money to somebody else for them to use it and grow a business, that becomes a security instrument. That's what your checking and savings accounts are. So why is this so important? Because if your bank goes under, an FDIC, like we talked about the last time we were together, only has 0.72% funding of all deposits in America, 0.72. That's not even 1%. Forget about a $250,000 FDIC insurance level. There's not enough money to bail out a ton of banks. If we start getting regional bank failures again, like the news that you just reported, this is hitting the news again. Banks are undercapitalized. They're running out of money. Why are they running out of money? Again, always ask why. Always dig deeper, which you're so good at, is because when in a world of high taxation, lowering wages, you've got jobs in decline, you've got prices going up because they're printing money out of thin air to fund every stimulus under the sun. We've got debt ceiling raises. We've got all of this. This causes inflation. Inflation requires the Fed to raise interest rates to slow that down or to stop printing money. Well, they're not going to stop printing money. It's the only thing keeping it afloat. So their only thing left is to raise interest rates to slow down inflation. So this is why, Alex, when we see the Fed, which has promised literally for the last 7 months, oh, we're going to lower interest rates because we've won the war on inflation. And Jerome Powell is saying this and Janet Yellen is saying this. Well, then why haven't you done it? Right? If they keep saying that they're going to lower interest rates and they haven't done it, because what do they do at every FOMC meeting, every Federal Reserve meeting, every single month? They say, we're going to pause. We're going to pause interest rates, you know, decline this month. And why do they do that? Because they haven't tamed the inflationary monster. They haven't tamed it yet. Inflation is still persisting. We just look at the core inflation that came out, and it's higher than expected. Inflation is going up more than expected. They haven't tamed that beast. And so here's the implication of what happens and why they're in a huge pickle at the Fed. If you lower interest rates when inflation hasn't been tackled, it will actually increase the inflation rate. It does nothing to slow it down. It will amplify it. If you raise interest rates at a time when we're in debt up to our eyeballs, now everybody that carries debt, everybody who has payments, they're going to feel the pinch, and it's going to create the largest recession slash
depression. By the way, let me just interrupt you because that was my next question. You went there without me asking. So explain this to people. CPI versus rate cuts, the Fed's mission impossible. That's Schiff Gold explaining that. Even the Fed admits they're doomed. We're going to have inflation now with a collapse at the same time. That's stagflation, which they didn't think was possible until the late 1970s. Explain why this is a damn if you don't.
So we've got tons of debt, right? The federal debt's like $34.5 trillion. The interest payments on that right now are pushing $800 billion a year, with interest rates where they are. So you raise interest rates to slow down inflation, which is the policy mechanism that they use. Well, what if interest rates double from where they are today? Remember, early 1980s, after the horrible Carter years, which we had stagflation, you had a huge recession, people weren't working, interest rates were sky high. The highest income tax bracket was pushing 90%, 90. It's like people forget that that was that bad. So they had to raise interest rates to 18% to slow down that inflation. That's what Reagan did when he first came in, and it worked, right? So the only way for inflation to be cut by interest rates and for that to work is if interest rates are higher than the inflation rate. What did Obama's official just say? Inflation unofficially, is it like 15%?
18%.
I've been saying 15 to 18% for over a year now. I'm glad that somebody that's in
what I've been seeing is higher than that.
Well, it is, and it's hard to measure because they keep changing the measurement. But
have you heard all these big stores, including grocery stores, are now going to have, and I think Wendy's said they're going to do it, where it depends on when you go to how much it's going to cost.
Well,
so if you go when it's not busy, it's cheaper. It's getting weird.
I mean, it's getting really weird. And you've got political action now saying we've got to raise the minimum wage. So they did that in California. And now McDonald's is laying off a ton of people because they have to raise the rate. And people are saying, wait a second, we want jobs. It's like, well, then don't raise the minimum wage. That's going to put people out of business.
Every time government gets involved, it creates a disaster.
It creates a disaster. So this is their ultimate pickle that they can't get out of. If they lower rates like they promised to try to stimulate the economy, well, then inflation goes through the roof and people already can't afford to live. If you raise interest rates, which has to be greater than inflation for it to even work, they're going to have to raise rates into the upper teens to 20% range. that will put the economy into a huge recession. So what are they doing? They're
pausing. It's a seesaw.
It's a seesaw. They are pausing. This is why Jerome Powell keeps coming every single month saying, we're just going to pause, we're just going to pause, we're just going to pause. Well, so check this out, Alex. So,
and you predicted when you were here that they wouldn't, that they wouldn't raise, they would pause, they did that.
Yeah, to me, it's just common sense. I mean, when you look at it, and now we're starting to see other people that are starting to look at the common sense that I predicted. So Jerome Powell spoke last week at Stanford. He was at some kind of conference, and he's basically sitting with
his... Again, most of our audience knows who he is. We have new viewers all the time that are newbies. Tell them who Jerome Powell is, and what the tell them what the Federal Reserve is. Let's do a few minutes on that.
So Jerome Powell is chairman of the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve's stated policy goal is to keep the economy afloat, keep it stimulated, have enough through their actions to keep unemployment low. That's what they want. They want full employment so everybody's working and that stimulates the economy. How do they do that? You lower interest rates to stimulate the economy, or so you can do interest rate policy, raise them to slow it down, lower rates to speed it up.
And that's been going on 30 years, and now it's coming to an end.
Well, the Federal Reserve Act came into effect in 1913.
Oh, yeah, so that's been going on for 120 years. But what I'm saying is that they've really had them low until recently.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to John Maynard Keynes and his policies, and this is what they all go by, is they want full employment. You do that through interest rate policy and through money supply. You increase the money supply if you want to grow the economy. You decrease it if you want to slow it down, right? So they use all these mechanisms. To me, it's like, stay out of it. Let the markets, you know, fend for themselves, because the markets will tell us where equilibrium is. So they get involved. They create boom and bust cycles. But their goal, stated goal, is to keep the economy afloat and have full employment.
And so, let's remember, though, because they're the insider private stockholders, the private Federal Reserve, they get used to the money first, and that allows them to consolidate the economy.
Yeah, and what's wild and wacky about the Federal Reserve, for all the potential new listeners, your old listeners will know this full well, but it's cartel owning seven families that own the Federal Reserve. They print money out of thin air, and you go back to the Federal Reserve Act of the early 1900s, and they coaxed the United States to pay them interest to print money out of thin air. I mean, it's the biggest Ponzi scheme in the history of the world.
And that's why Larry Fink is so panicked, because he's their corporate front guy to use investment and all the Federal Reserve money and European Central Bank money. It's all the same cartel to take control of all the other companies and then use social engineering. But because Texas pulled out 8 million, all these other states are pulling out, they're in panic mode, because as soon as the public realizes they're using money for political control and we start politicizing our money, it's game over.
It is totally game over. And they all know this, but here's where we have to be one.
Because everything's political, folks. Get that straight. Your money is a damn weapon, and you're just like, oh, mom, your money's just money. No, when you spend your money, what you do with your money, what you demand for your money is king.
Yeah, and see, they know this, and so, but we have to take one step ahead, be ahead of them in how they think. And they want to usher in a new system of complete people control. That's what central banks
are. And they're a private banking cartel that's totally secret, has never been audited. But when it's set up, they admit it was foreign owned, as you said, seven families at the time, who knows now. And they have these big giant marble buildings with American eagles on them.
Yeah.
It'd be like if I set up a giant marble building and said I was the feds.
Well, so technically, there's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve, and there's no reserve there.
By the way, guys, pull this clip up. Type in Alan Greenspan says no one has authority over the Federal Reserve. He's on PBS. Alan Greenspan, Federal Reserve quote. It's the most famous. It's like 15 years ago. He'd already left the Federal Reserve. He was on Lehr NewsHour before Lehr died. And his headline is, Alan Greenspan says the Federal Reserve is above the law. It's a two-minute clip. It is incredible. Because we were, Ron Paul's telling him, you know that, and I've read these essays. He wrote books in the 50s and 60s, Alan Greenspan, about gold and silver and how the Federal Reserve was a fraud and how it was a scam and how it should go down. He was super popular, like Ron Paul. He helped wake Ron Paul up. Ron Paul went to conferences when he was a college student with him, but then they came and bought him off. And then he became their head. It's like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't know this.
Well, so I'm so glad you brought that up, because what happened last week actually amplifies that message. So Jerome,
you got the floor. I'm going to go. You got the floor for. I'm going to go get that clip. Make sure it's there. You're hosting right now.
So Jerome Powell, chairman of the Fed, he's speaking at Stanford, and he's got the same talking points that he's had for a while, which is, well, we're still going to have 2 to 3 rate reductions this year because we've tamed this inflationary beast and we're good at what we do, right? But then by the end of this conference, he actually backpedals a little bit. And what did he say? He said, but the inflation is still persisting, so we're open to different adjustments. Okay, so that's Jerome Powell speaking. Atlanta Fed President Bostic, this is where it gets really exciting to me in the monetary policy arena. I know I'm a nerd, but this kind of stuff, I love getting into it. So there's infighting within the Fed. So these bank presidents of the Federal Reserve, you've got Federal Reserve banks all over the country, like Atlanta, Minneapolis, Dallas, you know, whatever, New York. So the Atlanta Federal Reserve Bank President Bostic, what did he say? He said there's only going to be one rate cut this year, and it's going to occur in the fourth quarter, deviating from what Jerome Powell said, which is we're still going to have 2 to 3 because we've won this. I'm in agreement with Bostic, and here's why. They're going to continue to pause. The CPI numbers that are coming out, inflation is not just sticky, it's actually increasing. And so why would they say, let's have one rate reduction? So my prediction, you know, 6 months ago was they aren't going to be able to lower interest rates because inflation is sticky and persistent, but they've got to do at least one because they need to save face. They need to show the world, it's like, hey, we told people we're going to have a rate decrease, so they have to do at least one. And when are they going to do it? The fourth quarter. What happens in the fourth quarter? The election. So if you lower interest rates right before the election, everyone's going to be happy. It's like, see, they do have control over this. They do know what's going on, and this is great for all of us, right? So then Minneapolis Fed Chair, Kashkari is his last name, he raises the prospect of zero rate cuts, none, because he said Goldman says that would be very surprising if this happened. No, Kashkari knows what he's talking about. You can't lower interest rates in a time of inflation. So this is going to impact the society a lot because people can't afford to live with so we've heard the term higher for longer, right? These interest rates are going to stay higher for longer. And this is very, very problematic to society because we're in debt up to our eyeballs. So consider this and why they are so reluctant to actually raise rates or lower rates. But they're going to have to raise rates. That's my prediction because inflation is going to persist for a couple of different reasons, right? So number one is the BRICS nations. Number two is they keep printing money out like there's no tomorrow. So what do the BRICS nations have to do with anything? This started with the Russia-Ukraine conflict. So during the Russia-Ukraine conflict, Biden basically did the nuclear economic option. And he went to Putin and he went to Russia and said, we're kicking you out of the SWIFT system. What's the SWIFT system? That is the mechanism for banks to send wires to other banks. If you're not in the SWIFT system, you're not getting any international bank wires or any bank wires, period. So what did Putin do? Putin goes to China and says, hey, gee, we got a problem here. Biden just kicked us out of the SWIFT system. They said, oh, no worries. We've got our own system called CIPS, C-I-P-S. And so if these were two small countries, it wouldn't amount to a hill of beans of difference. But the BRICS nations are about 70% of the world's population, literally. So now they've got their own system. So what Biden did by weaponizing the U.S. dollar, what did he do? He created a bigger and badder economic partnership between China and Russia that is the fuel behind their economic, basically, growth. So they've got their own system. Now, what he also did was something even more weaponizing the U.S. dollar, and he froze Russia's assets. You know, this is a political maneuver that a lot of presidents have done. But what did he do? He froze Russia's gold assets so they couldn't get it back. Well, this started to tick him off because you're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars worth of gold that were frozen. So now you've got country after country after country that are looking at the foreign policy of America and saying, we don't want our assets frozen. We want our gold. We want to repatriate our gold. We want to get it out of the Fed. We want it back in our own countries. Okay, this is really interesting because this mass exodus of wealth, to me, this is the shift of power. This is the shift of wealth from the West to the East. The BRICS nations are winning. The London-based economic system, New York-based economic system, the economic banking power of the West is diminishing, and it's going east. This is why central banks are buying gold. So I've got this chart, if I can find it, right, because I got a lot of charts here. But, okay, so if you look at this, gold flows to the east, right? So Asia has net imported gold from the West since April. How many? China plus 160 tons, India plus 80 tons, Turkey plus 62 tons, Thailand, Saudi Arabia, Malaysia, Hong Kong, they're all positive. Look at America. America's minus 136 tons, where China's plus 160. So there's this massive move of wealth away from America to the East, right? So this is this power shift. It's this economic balance that's moving. So what did Congress do? This is where we have absolutely zero respect for the rule of law, Alex, in America. So Congress gives the Fed a FOIA request. Freedom of Information Act says, hey, how many countries are, what are the countries that are pulling gold away from the Fed and how much is going? You know what Jerome Powell's answer was? I'm not telling you. It's like just flat out. Subpoena from Congress, Freedom of Information request. Nothing. But he says, but you know what? The New York Fed knows that number, but they're not going to tell you either.
And that brings us to Alan Greenspan. We have the clip. We'll play it in a moment. But let me go back to something. We have internationally going around bullying people and forcing them into their new system that weakens the dollar, which has happened, which you predicted 6 months ago. And now it's happened. Then we have Letitia James, the George Soros attorney general in New York, literally staging show trials with no juries, saying Trump valued Mar-a-Lago at $240 million. It's really worth $18 million. And then when they got their fake judgment against it, they said, just sell Mar-a-Lago. It's worth $1 billion. They didn't even get their propaganda straight. That made everybody start fleeing New York because Letitia James said, don't worry, we're only targeting Trump. And then she went after the meatpacker associations and the Second Amendment and the NRA. They're going after everybody. People knew, wait, you set the president with Trump. This is a plan for everybody else. And so that's happening inside the country, driving investment out of here.
It is. And these countries, because of bad foreign policy, are afraid of the dollar weaponizing against them. They want
it forces them out.
It forces them out. And they're saying, we want our stuff, because we're afraid that you are going to freeze our assets because you don't like us because of an ideological difference before whatever
reason. And let's go back to what you said. And you mentioned it's in the news. The head of the Federal Reserve says, we're not going to tell you. And for those that don't know, the New York Fed is the body that holds the stock as the private group. The other regional banks in the act basically aren't even let in on that. They just deal with local regional bank control. And that's important to note. So here's Alan Greenspan. This is like 15 years ago. He left the Federal Reserve on the Lear NewsHour on PBS, admitting that it's totally separate from government with no oversight, and Congress and the president have no say. It's a fourth branch of government that's privately owned by the Rothschilds. Here it is.
What is the proper relationship? What should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. And I've had very good relationships with presidents.
So let's unpack that. In our Constitution, in our federalist system, there are three branches of government. Okay? There is legislative, executive, judicial. There's the Congress, there's the president, and there's the federal courts with the Supreme Court on the top. In the federalist system, you have the federal trifecta, you have the state trifecta, and they share power as a balance of power. In 1913, they set up a privately owned thing, calling itself the Federal Reserve, that says it's a fourth branch of government, but isn't accountable to any of the other branches or the federalist system. That's the coup in 1913 that began the last 10 plus years of this garbage that we're under. And I remember covering this with Ron Paul 30 years ago. One of the first interviews I did was Ron Paul 29 years ago. I've been on air as of 2 days from now. It'll be 30 years. But I've been interviewing Ron Paul. He was running for Congress again for 30 years, interviewed Rand when he was in college as a spokesman for his dad. And I've seen it all happen. They would say it was a conspiracy. It's government. Now they admit it's private. So we've come a long way. But to restore our republic, we really need to audit the Fed. We need to abolish the Fed. We need to get back control with a real national bank. That's what Andrew Jackson talked about.
That is what Andrew Jackson talked about. But whenever Congress goes to the Fed and says, hey, we want to know about your stuff, they just basically ignore it. That's where the rule of law in America has.
So it's a banking dictatorship.
It's a banking dictatorship. And so, but people think that it's federal. People think they have a reserve. But what Greenspan just said was something very, very important. The Fed is supposed to be an independent organization from all these others. He just said that he has a very good relationship with the president, right? So they're not independent.
It's all secret.
They're taking policy actions from the president. So, okay, so here's proof that they do that. So when the U.S. government, the Treasury Department, sells U.S. treasuries, and they always go to the auction every single week when they do it, and they say, oh, we fulfilled the auction. There's huge demand for the U.S. treasuries. There's huge demand for the dollar.
But more and more, it's the Fed buying it.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much all the Fed. Who's buying it?
Monetization.
It's they're buying it with what? Money that they print out of thin air. So it's,
which is
it's,
inflationary.
It's all very inflationary. So when you start looking at some of these charts of the economy.
Yeah, you brought a lot of research. So we've still got like 45 minutes left here before we go to the special report and the next big show. But Dr. Kirk Elliott will point the camera over there. Give us your presentation. But let's do a small plug again. People right now can get ahead of this, and if I had money and wasn't in bankruptcy and wasn't under global attack, I would be heavily in gold and silver, and I'd be up 100% in the last few years, okay? So this is a no-brainer. I always steer you the right direction. And again, farmland, family you can trust, Second Amendment, relationship with God, that's number one. God's number one, farmland, friends, family, being prepared, being spiritually ready, that's number one. But number two is, if you have investment, is to be out of paper. That is my personal view. You can go with that if you want to, but if you're going to go with that, go with Dr. Kirk Elliott and KEPM.com/gold, and he'll tell you, gold's doing great, but silver's going to do even better. You're saying silver.
I'm saying silver, and there's a reason why. So you've got central banks around the globe that are buying gold like there's no tomorrow. And I'm going to talk about gold.
Well, like I'm trying to give people ice water in the Sahara. So I feel really good saying, do a pitch. You're a supporter. You fund the operation. You're the best company we know of out there. Boom. They need to go with you. Tell them right now what they should do.
So gold is increasing in demand. Central banks after central bank after central bank is amassing it by the hundreds or thousands of tons. See, China lies about everything. We know that.
Totally right.
And they, so the official numbers are they've got about 5,000 tons of gold in their central bank. But think about it. They are the largest gold mining country on the planet.
They admit they're the biggest buyer. It's admitted. Yeah,
they're also the biggest buyer. So of all the gold that they mine, largest gold mining country in the world, they don't sell any of it. They're also the largest purchaser of gold on the planet. So they're massing amount. So
why are the Chi-Coms hoarding gold?
Well, because they know what's coming.
Why is the University of Texas hoarding it?
They know that a system is about.
Why is Bill Gates hoarding it?
That's why we always.
Why is Mark Zuckerberg hoarding it?
Yes. So here's the thing. They've unofficially got about 30,000 tons of gold, not 5,000. And you look at what Russia's got, 1,000 tons. The Fed has 8,500 tons. The European Central Bank, 10,500 tons. So with all of this built up demand for gold is going through the roof. And what are they doing? So this chart right here shows central banks are dumping dollars like crazy. China's U.S. treasuries are falling off the cliff. They're getting rid of dollars. And what are they going into? Gold. See, For years and years and years.
Everybody keeps asking, what's the new world currency? The elites are telling you it's going to be some new central bank currency, but they're all running into gold and silver.
Yeah, I mean, these charts are proving it. Central bank gold demand is through the roof. Dollars are going out. Gold is going in. The gold supply, because of that, is diminishing. It's like just tanking. So when you see that...
When you have massive demand and low supply, that means one thing, straight up.
Straight up. So Bank of America, UBS, Goldman Sachs, with this new move of central banks allocating tons, I mean, I'm not using that as a figure of speech, literally tons into gold. Bank of America thinks on this move, gold will hit $3,000 an ounce. Goldman Sachs says $2,700.
Well, I know a lot of companies out there can't even get gold or silver.
Silver is increasingly hard to get to. You can't get it in massive volume because the manufacturing demand is through the roof because of solar power, because of electric vehicles.
Industrial use.
And UBS, 4,000. They think gold's going to hit 4,000. So the top three big banks, their projections.
Last time you were on, I showed Larry Fink admitting, he goes, forget Bitcoin, it's all gold.
Yes. So $3,200 is the amount, the average of those three banks' projections. We're at 2,400. So that's massive growth. But here's where it gets really exciting and why I love silver. So historically, there's this ratio, Alex, of how many ounces of silver does it take to buy 1 ounce of gold? That's 20-1. Well, right now, a week ago, we were at 90-1. Today, we're at about 83-1. So in about a week, that ratio has come down and down and down. So it's happening. Predicted that. So here's where the silver price, when you look at the gold ratio, gold demand is going through the roof. At 80-1, if you use the average of what those three banks want, $3,200 an ounce for gold, at 80-1, gold, silver will be $40 an ounce. At 60-1, it'll be $53 an ounce. At 40-1, $83 an ounce. At 30-1, which we were at in 2011, $107 an ounce. And 20-1, $165. This is...
So it should... Say it slowly. In a historical average, it should be 20-1.
20-1.
What's the price?
$165 an ounce.
Good God, I wish I was in a position to be in silver.
And this is if those three banks, which are banks, when they...
If I had money, and I stored up money to fund this place, I put everything I had in, I'm proud to do it, the mission is number one. But if I had money, I'd be all in silver right now.
Well, absolutely, as we are. So here's the thing. Banks always understate where gold is going to go. For whatever reason, they just never get...
But it exposes inflation.
Because it exposes inflation. So their numbers of averaging 3,200, it's probably going to be much higher than that, which puts silver stratospheric growth. And we've seen this. So 6 weeks ago, I'm sorry, 2 months ago, so that's 8 weeks ago, silver was $22 an ounce. Today it's 28. We're up over 30% in the last 2 months. Again, we predicted this kind of growth on the last two shows that we were on.
You think it'll really go 20-1?
I don't even care if it gets to 20-1.
If it goes to 50-1, it's huge.
If it goes to 50-1, it's huge. If it goes to 30-1, it's huge. But I actually do think we will get to that point because that's a historical norm. And you get to that point, it acts as a regression towards the mean. It will go to that point or
that's the equilibrium. Approach it.
That's the equilibrium. So let's just say, and you had sent me something about a week ago. We were texting back and forth. And you said, hey, let's look at what an ounce of gold would buy you from time to time, right? So we were talking about 1929 versus today. So this is a really interesting story. And everybody who sees this and understands it will realize it doesn't matter if gold or silver even go up at all because the dollar is diminishing so much. The only way to maintain your purchasing power over time is with tangible assets like gold and silver. So in 1929... gold was $20.63 an ounce. An average home price was $4,902. Okay. So that means how many ounces of gold did it take you to buy a house? 238. So how about today? Average home price, $384,500. What's the gold price? Around $2,400. That means it takes you 165 ounces of gold to buy a house. So the ratio is actually getting better. So it put it another way, if you kept your money in cash since 1929, your $4,902 is now worth $245 because of inflation. But those same 238 ounces of gold would be worth $555,968. So you would be able to buy a house plus have another $170,000 left over. If you would have put your money in gold instead of paper, paper declined from $4,900 to $245, where gold went from $4,900 to $555,000.
It's such a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
And that's what pisses me off is, I mean, I watch you at WorldNet Daily and other platforms. I know you have a great company. And I only went with companies that reached out to us or whatever. I looked at a few and they would lie to me and say they were going to sell gold and bullion. And I get they got to make money. So, you know, 5%, 10%, whatever. I said, but don't go above that. And they would bait and switch and go right. So I'd call and they go, yeah, we got bullion. What you really need is this thing from a shipwreck. I'd be like, that's twice the price of bullion. Boom. I would always, they'd be a sponsor for like 2 days. I go, you son of a bitch, you lied. The longtime listeners know you'd see a gold sponsor for like 2 days, they'd be gone because they just wouldn't stop. And like, I don't need that in my life to F over listeners. That's not who I am. So thank God you're here because people need to get into this. They need to do it now.
They do. And Alex, everything that you and I have been talking about on this show are fundamental forces that cause markets to move, right? So what causes stocks, bonds, mutual funds to come down? Raising taxes, raising interest rates, inflationary pressures, and people losing their jobs because people stop spending money. Those exact fundamental forces cause gold and silver to go up. Now we add to that the supply and demand constraints, and you look at where COMEX silver. COMEX is the big global depository where manufacturers like Sony, Samsung, LG, Tesla, they get all their silver from, right? So in the last 18 months, COMEX available supply is down 70%, 7-0. That means there's 30% left. Well, over 18 months, it came down 70%. That drawdown rate is 3.8% a month. So what's 30% that's left divided by the current drawdown rate? Silver could go away in physical format over the next 8 to 9 months. So what is that?
And then it goes,
oh my word.
It could go higher than 20 to 1.
Well, it absolutely could because we need it.
Well, don't make a guesstimation. You're not giving advice here, but 21 sounds incredible. But this looks like it could go higher than that.
Well, it could because look at all of the globalist agendas. Green energy, solar power, electric
vehicles. Attacking the real economy.
Fuel cell technology, Department of Defense. We're in a war economy right now. Aerospace industry. They all need silver. So it's not like a 65-inch LED TV is 100% made out of silver. No, it's got this small amount in it for solder points and different things, different components. But without it, they can't finish their final product. So here's the manufacturers of the world saying, if we don't get silver, we can't finish our final product. And so,
and China's positions itself, 97% of rare earth minerals?
Yeah.
How the hell did that happen?
Because we have inept.
For people that don't know, you have to have rare earth minerals for everything.
Yeah, we have completely inept foreign policy, and we've given that stuff away, and so other countries have taken advantage.
Well, it was done on purpose to undermine us. I you know what I mean? Like the Panama Canal, everybody, Seven Carter gave it away, but not until the 90s was officially transferred. Now China runs Panama. I mean, you can't tell me the CIA that's come out saying we got to shut Jones down, he's too popular, it threatens our national security, but then they sold out Panama Canal to the Chinese. I mean, give me a break. They're working against our national security.
They absolutely are. And China knows it because we need silver for Department of Defense. We need it for missiles. We need it for
power. So how could the Department of Defense and the CIA let China dominate the industrial metals?
Well, I think, sadly, they want to change the global system. They want to change the balance of power.
Exactly.
Into this global utopia and us.
But Xi Jinping double-crossed him 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. So now that's falling apart. Hitler and Stalin at the first World War II were allies, folks, the first 2 years. Then they double-crossed each other. It's like, what did the globalists think China was going to do when they gave them all the cards?
Well, this is going to make every patriot in America really upset, but, you know, don't kill the messenger. But we have lost our time as the global economic, political, military hegemon.
That was the CFR plan.
Yeah, that was the CFR plan to have this global, you know, the United Nations, NATO, all of this is...
Those that don't know, go to the CFR 20 years ago, the end of the American century, the dragon century. The guys type in councilonforeignrelations.org, the end of American power, the rise of China. They've been doing it on purpose, and then China double-crossed them. Soros said everything's China until 10 years ago. Now he says Xi Jinping's Hitler. What did you think he would do, you dumbasses?
So they
double crossed you because there's no honor amongst thieves, you dumb bastards. They could have owned America, but let us be free. We would have taken the world over with freedom, but instead they wanted totalitarianism. Could have been 1776 worldwide, and you dumbass bankers could have been the bosses, but you had a needle dick attitude towards free people. And you wanted to dominate us, so you cozied up to Xi Jinping, and now you are fucked.
Well, here's where...
Because they are. I mean, they are.
Oh, they're toast. And so China, what do they want? See, it's really easy to connect the dots, Alex.
Talk about why China broke with them.
Yeah,
General Flynn, 5 years before it happened, told them it would happen.
Yes. So they want to be the world's reserve currency. They want to be the world's global economic...
But how did they not think China would double-cross them?
Because they want this to happen to bring in central bank digital currency.
Yeah.
I mean, they want this... So central bank digital currency is not about fixing a broken economic system. It's about complete people control. So what does China want? China sees this fracture because of bad foreign policy, bad leadership in America. And they say, ooh, we can be the world's reserve currency. And here's how we do it. So Putin says we're going to de-dollarize the world. They add all these other countries. Iran, the big one right now with today's news, added into the BRICS nations, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and so forth. But Iran is a big one to me because what are they doing? They're now wanting to attack Israel. Well, who are they in economic political alignment with? The BRICS nations. So this is bigger to me than Iran, you know, having a multi-thousands of years.
Oh, yeah, they're just trying to use Iran as the trigger.
Yeah, so but what they did bring into them because they're part of the BRICS nation is this bigger coalition of China, Russia, Iran, against Israel, against the West. And so,
because the West is so leveraged, even little countries that are taken out is huge.
Yes.
But explain derivatives, because it's not just derivatives in banking or in housing or in mortgages. Everything's been turned to this derivative system. So when even a smaller nation pulls out, it's huge.
So a derivative is just leveraged debt. So you can have dollar for dollar debt. If you have $20,000 debt on your credit card, that's dollar for dollar. You owe $20,000. It goes away. What financial institutions did is they started putting in different tranches. They're really toxic debt and they're kind of toxic debt. And they put it into packages. They started selling it to other financial institutions at a leveraged amount. So now derivatives are basically leveraged debt instruments about 20 to 1. So if you get it wrong and your investment goes in the wrong direction by 5% and you've got this in a debt derivative, 5% times 20 times leverage, you lose 100% of your invested capital on a 5% move. There is so
that's
much-
why it's a big deal in Texas. Even if BlackRock has a quadrillion, you pull $8 billion out because it's all leverage. That's like hundreds of trillions.
Hundreds of trillions. So here's where China is playing a masterful chess game. And not just China, but the BRICS nations in general. So we saw that chart earlier about the massive amount of gold flow going to the east and away from the west. So China, the BRICS nations, now control the majority of gold in the world, the majority of it. So what did that do to the west? It took away our price-fixing capability. What does China want? They want to be the world's reserve
currency. Explain. That kills the Federal Reserve and the stock market and its special committee on open markets and all the rest of it. It kills their ability to make it short like they could.
They can't make it short. See, this is very, 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 very important for people investing in gold and silver because there's been this pendulum shifting moment that has happened when these numbers came out. So the West, the Fed, London, they wanted to discredit gold and silver because they wanted their big banking empire. And anytime gold and silver would go up, they would cut it off at the knees because that was an attack against their fiat-based money. Well, now that the East wants to be the world's reserve currency, they are the majority owners of all the gold in the world by far. So now what? They don't want price suppression. If they own the majority, they want gold to go through the roof. So the West lost its price-fixing capability. They are losing, and this balance of power has shifted. Sorry, every American patriot like me who loves America, who wants the great lifestyle that we've had over the last 40 years, that balance of power has shifted, and they are playing a brilliant game. But this is where, you know, people say, well, the gold and silver, they've been manipulated for so long. It's like that game is about to end, because whenever somebody owns a majority of something, they control it, right? Like a majority shareholder in a stock company. It's like, okay, they could vote somebody out. China owns the majority of gold. And so their motive is for gold to go up because they own so much of it and they want to increase their wealth. So you look at the ratio of silver that we talked about, Alex. You look at this chart pattern. Now, this is 44 years in the making, okay? And I'm not a technical chartist. The difference between fundamentals, which to me are Trump everything, fundamentals, interest rates, debt, unsustainable debt, political consequences, legislative action, supply and demand, that always causes markets to move. What a technical chart tells you is this a good time to buy or a good time to sell? A bad time to buy, a bad time to sell. It tells you entry and exit points. This silver path is clear. Over the last 44 years, this cup and handle formation is what's showing us built up demand. It's pent up demand. And now that supply is diminishing, like what we talked about earlier, this will cause silver to go through the roof. This is why the beginning stages of what we've seen over the last 8 weeks is silver going up from $22 an ounce to $28 an ounce.
And by the way, we're going to re-air part of this later on the weekday shows. It's so important. And I just want to put a note here. I want to go find the clips of you 4 months ago, 3 months ago, 2 months ago, predicting silver would do exactly what it's done. And we'll kind of cut some flashbacks in here because that's really powerful. So you already shown us this. We only got like 20 minutes left. Tell us, Dr. Kirk Elliott, your new predictions or other key tidbits. You've got the floor. Hit them. All the other points you wanted to make. What's coming next? Because you talked about regional bank runs coming. Now they're saying they're coming. You've got the floor. Give people what you've already told us that you were right. And we know you're right. This is basic stuff, but you do all the technicals. A great job. You're selling, you know, like ice water in the Sahara here. It's obviously common sense. So tell us what's coming next.
So what's coming next is sadly a very dark period for America economically. Jamie Dimon, chairman of J.P. Morgan Chase, said this 2 days ago. He said, we are about to enter the darkest economic period, 10-year period in American history. And why is that? Because banks are running out of money. They're undercapitalized. With interest rates going up, people are going to be delinquent on their loans. They're going to default on their loans. And so what I expect coming soon is a banking crisis where you're going to start to see banks fail. People are going to pull their money out of the system. So here's where people think in their retirement accounts, let's say you're a Fidelity or Schwab or whatever, and you're just sitting in a money market. That's immune from your bank going under. No, it's not. When you have a money market, that's held at a bank basically somewhere, a financial institution. So as banking crisis continues to persist, people's retirement accounts are going to get hit hard. Cash is no longer the king. Cash is no longer the safe haven because interest rates aren't keeping up with inflation. Banks are going to fail. So here's what I think comes next. Now, you add to that the wartime era that we're entering into. Just as we record this, you've got Iran basically saying that they're going to invade Israel. Israel, because they want to preemptively strike before Israel goes after them. You've got warships going into the Strait of Hormuz. You've got things that are starting to get turbulent. Gold and silver, very politically motivated, legislatively motivated, economically motivated, flight for safety vehicles, right? So I think, you know, Alex, to answer your question, I think we're going to have banking crisis 2.0. I think we're going to have a massive surveillance state that hits us, you know, with FISA 702 talking about, oh, all this terrorist tension and all these wars and stuff. We've got to, without warrant, want to be able to see if there's anybody that's talking to anybody internationally, right, to see if they're involved. I think that the surveillance state is going to increase just like after 9/11. Now with the banking crisis, they're going to use all of this to actually usher in a new monetary system, which is central bank digital currency, in their own words. In their own words, not mine. Look at the World Economic Forum. Look at the Bank for International Settlements. Look at the IMF. Look at what central bank digital currency is. It's programmable money, which is ideology-based spending. That's what the programmable part about it is. You can change ownership of that. If it's digital, you can change ownership with the flip of a switch. So I think that this is the next era that's coming. And if people aren't allocated safely, getting out of digital assets, getting out of paper assets, going into something that's tangible, something that's real, like agricultural real estate that you could start to produce land on, like gold and silver that's not a digital asset. See, we have to start thinking differently about society and about what comes next. It's like, oh, you know how they're going to start to track you? So digital enslavement, right? So Amazon is pushing a palm scan payment service, right? So normally when you go to a gas station, a grocery store, and you slide your credit card through the little reader, and that's how you pay for your stuff, right? Even at the 7-Eleven across two blocks down from my office in Denver, it says, we're cashless. What? Cashless at a 7-Eleven? Right? So they only want credit card transactions. Well, what Amazon wants to do is absolutely own the merchant processing business, right? And they're going with a palm scan payment service, which is biometric identification of you to your bank accounts in the means of safety, right? In transparency and quickness of transactions, right? So no data theft because it's biometrically identified. This is part of the United Nations Pact for the Future, which they started working on 2 years ago. Central bank digital currency, unified ledgers, tokenizing all of your information, putting it into a packet, anything that has a title, your bank accounts, your checking accounts, your house, all of that, your savings accounts. I mean, they're putting it into a system, excuse me, where they can flip off the switch of ownership if your ideology doesn't match up. So what is this pact for the future? In September of 2024 is the date that they want to meet to actually expose this plan to the whole world. Well, part of that is biometric identification of your bank accounts. Amazon just confirmed that this is what they are bringing to the table, right? So you know, we're all, you know, talk about Big Brother and Orwell and 1984 and all these, you know, dystopian future books that we read a long time ago. The dystopian future is now, right? So what do we need to do? You need to make sure that your faith is in the right place. You need to make sure that your finances are safeguarded away from digital assets into something that's tangible and real. Make sure that the money that you do have in a bank is not basically in a bank that's in bad financial condition, which most of them are, right? Most of them are. So recent reports that are coming out, I just read one yesterday that said all banks are insolvent. I mean, okay. So are all banks insolvent? Probably not. But in a rising interest rate world, and people are going to be delinquent on their loan payments, default on their loan payments, new requirements from the Basel III financial accords say that banks have to go from 0% to 20% reserve requirement. If you're a billion-dollar bank and you went from zero to now you have to have $200 million in reserves, where are you going to get that? Where are you going to get that? If you're out of compliance, you go out of business. Oh, but don't worry. JPMorgan Chase will just consolidate and buy out all these toxic banks. See, this is a problem too, because when Silicon Valley Bank went down, Signature Bank was one of them. Who bought them out? New York Community Bank. What happened to New York Community Bank over the last 2 months? Share price went down 70%. Because now when you buy toxic assets, it makes all of your old assets toxic too. See, these banks that are buying the toxic banks, their balance sheets are becoming toxic. And this financial system, as we know it, is collapsing right before our eyes. They're going to try to usher in a new central bank digital currency. that says we can fix it with this, that's not going to fix anything. Everybody watching this needs to realize the people ushering in the new system are the same ones that had the old system. They don't actually lose anything, right? Except what do they gain? Absolute power over people's spending and the ability to cut you off from buying or selling if your ideology doesn't match up with theirs. See, this is the world that we're heading into. This is the Orwellian future that nobody wanted to happen, but yet it's here. It's here right in front of us. And so this is why, Alex, that I've been shouting from the rooftops for decades. And sometimes markets can stay irrational longer than we can stay rational, right? But now we're seeing technical confirmation, fundamental confirmation, political confirmation, social decay. And what comes after economic collapse is always social upheaval. When people can't feed their babies, when they can't pay their mortgage, when they can't pay their rent, you're going to see.
And that's the angrier world that Klaus Schwab talks about. I want to back up what you said 5 minutes ago. The communist Chinese, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Larry Ellison, they're all buying farmland, not distributed around the world, while they use governments to shut down small and regional farms. So they understand it's all about food. You said the right thing. It's true. Farmland, if you know how to do it, that's great. Most people don't. That's number one. But number two is gold and silver. It is a absolute total no-brainer, Dr. Kirk Elliott. And you guys have the best company with no resale price, ready to physical delivery, ready with great groups you trust to house it, whatever people want. I wish I could make everybody, I don't mean that literally, watch this, because if enough people move out of this now and get prepared, we can stop their system. But the globalists admit they're rolling out the central bank digital currency. They're rolling out the New World Order. They're rolling out all the time. I'll be in a small restaurant trying to pay cash. We don't take cash. I'll be in a store. We don't take cash. I'm like trying to buy a loaf of bread. This is their system. And then all those mom and pop shots, all the swap meets, all the Amish selling stuff, it's meant to shut that down. And they admit they won't just go after you if they don't like you politically. That's up front, they admit. Trudeau's trying to pass a law right now, or he did it to the truckers. So is Europe. They're going to tell you where you can spend it. And, oh, it has more value if you spend it at this store than that store. It directs the economy. This is the mark of the beast.
I agree. And that's where my theology background comes in. When the Bible,
well, spend a few minutes on with your theology background, because you're also a theologian, have a degree in that.
You know, people for hundreds of years, thousands of years, you know, they've been saying, oh, they know that Revelation 13, 17 existed in the mark of the beast, and nobody could buy or sell, no man, woman, or child.
But it made no sense back then. How could you do that? How could everybody see the Antichrist at once on this image? They see the beast. They worship the image. It's television. It's
So a lot of people thought, well, Hitler is the Antichrist. No, it's an Antichrist spirit, right?
But the Bible says there's many Antichrists, but one final.
Correct. And we weren't there because we weren't there technologically yet. We couldn't actually have fulfillment of those prophecies.
But the devil's always lining his plan up.
Until technology is right. Well, you know what? It's here. We're seeing holograms of stinking aliens at Miami Mall, right? Right? You're seeing all this crazy stuff.
China has giant dragons flying above cities.
It's giant jagged. People are becoming accustomed to talks about aliens and weird stuff, right? So, but then financially, you couldn't interconnect everybody globally without a digital system. Now, how do you get everybody to comply? This is where the politics of all of this become very important, because
you create fear, you create crime, you create an angrier world, you cut off all the regular resources, you force people into it.
All of that. Imagine every evangelical and Catholic in the world says, I'm not taking this. It's the mark of the beast. There's no way. Well, what if your Social Security payments are tied to the FedNow app? And they say, if you don't take this app, we're not going to get your Social Security payments. What are people going to do? They're going to pause. They're going to consider. They're going to think about it. It's like, well, I have to live.
So what does the Bible say? Run to the hills.
Run to the hills. God gives us those prophetic warnings so we can act and have faith.
God gives us free will, but he gave us a blueprint and a map and a cheat sheet.
Yes.
He loves us so much, he gave us free will, so we're free entities. But he went, my children, here is the book. Here is the blueprint.
Yeah. See, Bible prophecy isn't there to scare people into...
It's there to empower them. We're not given to a spirit of fear, but a spirit of victory and overcoming.
And hope and a sound mind. And so Those prophecies are there to actually warn us, but to give us hope.
And that's why the enemy is so against real Christians.
Correct.
And they're in Protestants, there's Catholics, everybody that has the Spirit of God, despite the corrupt churches. We're given the sound mind. We're given the discernment.
Yeah.
That's how we know tomorrow's news today. It is literally the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. And
that's how we're finishing each other's sentences. We didn't talk before this, except a few text messages. We're finishing each other's sentences because it's the truth.
It is the truth. And there's story after story after story in the Bible. You read through the Gospels. There's a story that everybody knows. Peter's walking on water, right? There's this big, huge storm. The waves are huge. Jesus is walking on water and said, "Hey, Peter, come to me." What does he do? He gets out of the boat. He starts walking on water because why? He's focused on his Savior. He's focused on the solution. But the moment that he looks around and is engulfed with fear, sees the waves, he starts to sink. This is a message for everybody today. Stop focusing on the storm and focus on the
God.
Solution, and which is God, which is Jesus, which is this empowerment, this creativity.
Who gives us the way. God points the way.
Gives us the way. And you know what? You can survive through this and not just survive, but thrive, have a smile on your face. And this is why God tells us about the mark of the beast, because he doesn't say it's the only game in town. He says, don't take it, which means there is a choice, right? So this
it's beautiful. It's all happening. God is in control. Dr. Kirk Elliott, everybody should call you guys. They should do a consultation. You'll talk to them. They'll find out their needs. Everybody should get into silver right now. I'm gonna go tomorrow night after the show or the next time. I have my family sit down and watch this. This has been a powerful transmission. We're live right now. It's gonna reloop till tomorrow at 4 p.m. when I come back live on Sunday. I'm gonna air this Wednesday on the show. I'll have a few hours live. I'm gonna air this. It's so important to the full audience and all the AM and FM affiliates and the rest of it. Go to his website right now. Call the toll-free number right now and get this information. We'll put it back on screen real quick here. But the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is getting prepared. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900 or KEPM.com/gold. Dr. Kirk Elliott, thank you so much and great job.
Thanks, Alex.
We've had some great interviews, but this is the best so far.